big, big, big show planned. First, let me say get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate to get it on. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM's the phone number. You got questions? Maybe you got some home improvement questions. I like answering home improvement questions. And in our society, in our new society of know-nothing citizens, people seem to be always fascinated by anyone's knowledge of anything. There's an interesting thing. It doesn't translate into any tale, I've realized, sadly. But people are very impressed. They're very impressed if somebody's an attorney and they're a black belt. Everyone's excited. You know, if you do this and do that, people get kind of excited about it. If you find a guy who's a doctor, but he also fires black powder rifles or something, it's like, wow, you do something else than this. And if you do comedy and you do anything else, even walking, is a huge accomplishment. I've found for most comedians. Now, I'm not sure why the bar is set so low. Maybe your competition is Louis Anderson or whoever, but comedians do comedy and then they F and smoke pot. That's what they do. And they gather more material for the comedy routine. I always hate it when people call it a routine. I had someone explain to me at the car dealership the other day, you're that guy, you know, you tell those little jokes.
Yeah.
Do we need the word little to describe the jokes? You and your gay little playmates with your wind-up beanies tell your puny little comedy skit jokes. Yeah, they're cute. They're cute. That's another thing, too. I'm all over the road in the 6 o'clock hour. But how's that thing go where I come walking into the car dealership, the chick behind the counter recognizes me from 30 paces but has no idea from where? That's, hey, it's you. It's the guy from the skits with the stuff. You know, it's like, if you recognize me from really one nautical mile, you couldn't come up with one place you've seen me? How does that work where you just know the person? I understand maybe the guy's the neighbor on the sitcom and you're like, yeah, you look familiar because you've seen it twice. But she knew who I was when I opened the door and knew it clearly and was, oh, hey, that's the guy. But no, couldn't. Just the little comedy skits. I know you from the skits place. Don't you sell skits at the kiosk at the comedy store?
My boyfriend loves you. Can I get an autograph for him?
Yeah, could he?
I don't care for you.
No, not at
all.
Well, I shouldn't say I don't care. I'm not familiar. I mean, I've seen you.
I
didn't agree with me.
Boobs. Yeah,
yeah.
It's not funny.
I don't find it. I find it mean spirited, but he's a huge fan. As his fandom grows, hers shrinks eventually. It turns out she tried to kill you with a car bomb 4 years ago. It starts off where they're about equal. Hey, me and my boyfriend are huge. I see the show when he... Well, because I tried to kill you in 1989. And he has a full-size tattoo of you on his back that I have to look at through the mirror.
You should try to get someone to do that.
Get a tattoo?
Get a tattoo of you, of your face.
Kimmel did it many years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got a tattoo of your face?
Yeah, he did it on his belly.
It was your mouth and he makes it.
It's where, yeah.
And I like this
cute
idea. I like this idea. Let's have people line up.
Yeah.
Put the needle to you.
But, you know, not just anyone. I think that we need to choose who's worthy.
Well, here's the thing, you know, what you want. What you want is you want options from the tat department. You know, you want to go with Adam. But if we fall out of favor or turns out I've been looking at child pornography on the internet and get busted like Gary Glitter, you want to be able to quickly modify it to Pete Sampras or Greg Brady or something. So you could easily, you know, just clean it up a little and make up nice Pete Sampras or turn it into a Greg Brady. You want directions. It's like when you get the tattoo or the girlfriend's name, you want to be able to change it to the new. Does that ever help, by the way, if you're the new chick, knowing that that tattoo's been modified?
Hey.
Doesn't it sort of draw more attention to it?
I don't know.
I mean,
I feel like anytime anyone gets a tattoo, I think it's just bad luck when you get a name tattooed on you, doomed. The relationship is doomed.
You're asking for trouble.
Yes.
Yes. Has anybody who got a name tattooed of anybody on them made it till death do they part?
I don't think so.
No.
Impossible.
Yeah. You know why? Because it's like people that sort of have to climb to the mountaintop and crow about how much they love the person, about how they're best friends and they're soulmates and this is it. You're working too hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of the little guy with the chip on his shoulder who's threatening everyone to fight. You know what I mean? Maybe he's overcompensating. Maybe there's something they know that we don't know. I don't trust it.
First of all, I think instead of your face, then perhaps they could go with your name, Adam, and then they could change it to like, you know, if you go by the wayside, like Adam Ant, you know, or Madam, you know, Bovary or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam Ant is due.
Yeah.
He's coming back.
Right as you descend, I expect for Adam Ant to be going back up towards the stars.
Yeah.
Well, and I could go with Ace and then switch it to the Ace of Base.
They're another group that's due.
Yeah, yeah.
They are due.
Speaking of tattoos, though, you know, Miss Rachel Perry was discussing it. You know, you say, you know, she doesn't like the names, but two birds flying out of her vagina.
Okay, that's not what it is.
It's a furry birdhouse. It's not a vagina. How dare you? Write down furry birdhouse for... yeah, euphemism
name?
For vagina.
Furry birdhouse.
Yes, how... No, well, first
off... Fly birds!
There's a... Well, you got to give it to Rachel for symmetry because they're the exact same birds coming from the exact same place or direction or heading in. Are they leaving the nest or are they returning with food, perhaps?
I refuse to dignify that.
The point is I do like some symmetry because there are the ones that get the they get the Playboy bunny on one boob. Or they get the giant owl from a distance.
It might be just an ugly mole.
Yeah, you can't tell. You need symmetry in your tats. I sort of like that. You know, it's interesting. You know, human beings are sort of laid out symmetrically. You have an ear on the right and the left, and an eyeball and the nostril. And if one side gets a little out of whack, it looks weird. Even if one foot's bigger, one nostril flares a little more.
You got the shoe that's got the stack. Because you can't walk properly.
I miss the kid with the short leg. I really do. And that creepy
the Herman
heel.
Munster shoe.
Yeah. It's always the thing that catches you off guard when you see someone like that. Like you're looking at them like totally no, and you got to look back up.
All I'm saying is if in fact, and they don't have these kids anymore because they correct them at birth now, but I don't
they
like
kill
that.
Them?
They, yes.
The mother eats them?
I euphemistically say correct, but yes, they put them into a pulverizer. They lengthen the leg or they fix the leg at birth. I miss the kid with the short leg. He's an inspiration. He teaches us many lessons on the schoolyard. He's always used, too. Look at little Danny. Look at him. He wasn't born with the same leg length, and he doesn't have, but look at him, 100% out there playing soccer on the blacktop, the schoolyard. Look at that kid. Or... You're complaining because you came in fourth place in the potato sack race. You could be Danny. Look at him. Look at him with the extra soul on his shoe.
With the whisper.
You know, puts things in. Well,
so he doesn't hear.
But think about this. As a kid, and as an adult, too, but especially as a kid, all you have is who's around you and what they have in their relationship to you. So if you go to a school with rich kids and every other kid is wearing designer jeans and where did you go? We went to Maui over the summer and mom's driving a Range Rover. You're PO'd. Even if your dad makes 200 grand a year, you live in a decent house and drives a Ford Excursion or something, you're PO'd, right? Because look who's around you. Look what Timmy has.
I'm still upset that I've never been to Disneyland.
Now, if you go to some crappy school where there's, you know, everyone's living in an apartment, there's eight kids and dad is God knows where and people are pulling up in a diesel-powered Chevette, then you're on top of the world and you're in the exact same place as you were. So kids focus on that even more so than adults, and that's why we need the kid with the short leg in the classroom.
Of course, listen, I always think, you know, it's a lot of pressure. What if your kid, when he's, 6, 7 years old, takes the IQ test and he's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Then if he gets anything less than an A, first of all, the A's are expected, so there's not much joy in when he brings home straight A's. But
right.
if he comes home with a B+, outrage
yes.
as a parent. I almost would rather have a simpleton.
If you have
a simpleton, then it's like having a monkey. You know, like, hey, look what the monkey can do. He can tie his shoe.
Right.
You know?
No, and that's what happens. The people that have the special needs kids, it's like, oh, it's a huge deal. He ate oatmeal this morning without turning the bowl on his head.
That's right.
He's 29.
And as the parent.
You're crying.
Right. Well, no, as the parents say, you're to the world
hero.
A hero.
Hero.
That's right.
Hero. And let's not forget.
You should walk around with a cape.
If you have a child, a couple things. First off, if your kid does have a short leg and is going to go with the stacked heel on the short leg, no designer shoes, please. It's a huge distraction.
Yes.
Well, look at those Puma. What the? Where do you get the? Now I'm focused, you know.
Yeah.
There's the one. Do you buy both normal shoes and then stack one? Or is there a store that just has the wedgie Pumas? And how do you get the brand names? And who does that? Do you farm that out? Do you do it in your garage? I've never seen a place that says, we put an extra sole on your Puma. Do you need to go with an orthopedic type shoe like Ron the engineer, who works here, ironically has no problem with his legs. He's not lame at all. He just chooses to wear orthopedic shoes, perhaps in sympathy.
Downplay the infirmities is what you're saying. You know, like Bob Dole with the pen in his hand.
Right.
Why are you drawing attention to your crippled right mitt?
Right.
It's like if you have this is the same as if you have a prosthetic and you put a tattoo on it.
Yes.
What?
Yes. I
agree. Let's not draw attention.
That would be a strange message to send a partner if you had a prosthetic limb and you said, I'm going to get a tat with your name on it, but you did it on the prosthesis. Like, come on. I'm dumb, but I'm not crazy, baby. Like, this may not, you know, I'm a product of divorce, so I'm very realistic. Let me say this. Dave and I have kidded about this in the past, but and they always talk about, we're talking about what a hero you are if you have a special needs child. But the greatest asset this kid is ever going to be, and the kid's going to cost more money, and he's going to take attention, and it's going to take a huge toll on your life. But the one part it's going to help is at work.
Mm.
When you're at work, you get to leave anytime, any day. It doesn't matter what's going on. You just do that thing where you walk into the boss's office, and he knows it's serious because the door's half open, but you do the backhand knock. Bert, do you have a moment? You give the backhand knock, and he always puts down the paper. Yeah, come on in. Then you do that thing where you take that little gulp right before. Listen, I got a call from the house. Say no more. Say to take a week off. You're gone. There's not a boss in the world that, you know, when you go, little Steven's having a pretty rough day, who goes, come on, buddy, stick it out. Let's go. I've seen your inbox is chock full of stuff. Let's go. How about, give me 2 more hours and then split and take your work home. No, it's always like, if you have a special needs child and you do that back finger knock, the door half open, do the knock. I'll open the door halfway, then come back in and do the back finger knock.
Yeah.
Bert, you got a moment? Yeah.
Yeah, you knock while you're looking at the person.
Yeah. Bert, yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's never anything specific. You don't talk about seizures. You don't talk about tantrums. You sort of general, but he does the math. Steven's having a pretty tough day. You do that. It's something. And you also do that... you know, I hate to burn. Oh, but he'll jump in the middle. He'll cut you off. You won't get halfway through the word burn before he jumps in. I take the day off. Here you go. As a matter of fact,
how is the little guy?
How's he good? Is he good? Yeah, but he'll do that with the quiet voice. Yeah. He won't go, hey, he'll go, is he okay? And you'll do that. You know, he's, and you do that thing where you're trying to get the tears back now. He's the most courageous. He's, you know, you're that courageous. He's a hero. I like that thing too. He is duct taped to a wheelchair, has no idea who you are. He's a hero. Now, I don't want to make fun of that, but I'm not sure if he's a hero. He can't wipe himself. What are his options? Hero or what? I mean, he's a hero. He's my hero. Oh, yeah, it's my hero.
That's
one.
Right.
That one.
And then Bert, the boss, corrects you to tell you you and the missus are the real heroes.
Yeah, real heroes.
You're the angels on earth.
Right.
I love you're doing.
There's this one, too. I've never heard him complain. Well, he can't talk. If you gave him a scratch pad, I bet he'd have some complaints. He cannot complain. Well, I just, that thing, okay. So now the boss is practically in tears. And not only that, the boss would be like, what can I do? You know what I mean? Now the single guy comes in and goes, hey, we're going snowboarding. Are you kidding? Get back in that cubicle, you jackass. Little Steven's at home and you're going snowboarding. Everything's, that's the whole thing. You plan that, your boss, the boss will be like, if you have that special needs kid, the backhand knock. You do that, the boss will be like, listen, go home. What day is it? Wednesday? Just make it a long weekend. Stop by and pick up some supplies from the supply room. Take those home too.
Get some highlighters
and go ahead and bang the receptionist on the way out. No problem. Would you like to do my wife? God bless you. You're a hero. Powerful stuff. And then it puts things all into perspective. Yeah. All right. I'm not saying it's anything we should hope for or we should wish that upon anybody, but that's the lemonade from the lemons that God has dealt you with special.
That's exactly
needs.
Right. Yeah, and then Bert the boss says, here, I was saving this for his birthday, but here's a little early present. I got him these Pumas, one of which has a gigantic heel on it, please.
And then every once in a while there's that a-hole single gay employee who wants to bring it up. How come Larry... You could never. You could never. He actually hates other employees who are staying at work more than you when you're going home third day this week. Jason?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
You're calling from Seattle?
Yes, I am.
Are you gripped by Super Bowl fever?
Yeah, you know it.
Awesome. You have a home. You have a home improvement question?
I do.
All right. Wait a minute. I think we have a song. Do we have a song, Mike?
Hey, girl, gather around.
This is the most horrible song ever written. This is James. This is the original, the James Taylor. What a crazy doo-wop thing that is from the 50s.
I like that. That made me happy.
Go ahead, Jason.
So I got two bedrooms divided by a wall, mm-hmm. and I want to remove the wall by the two rooms, but I don't want to bring the roof down.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that, I have to support the roof and the wall doesn't, I guess.
Right. Well, you want to make sure the ceiling joists aren't resting on the wall, thus making it a bearing wall. You have to figure out whether the wall is bearing or non-bearing.
Right.
Those are your only options for walls. Either they're holding something up or they're just acting as a divider. Do you have an attic access you could put your head up in?
I do, and I've looked at the rafters, and they're all the same.
Yes, but what direction do they run? Do they run across the top of the wall? Because if they run across the top of the wall, they're resting on it. But if they run the same direction the wall is going, they're obviously not resting on it.
No, they're perpendicular with the wall, so.
So they're going over the top of it.
Yeah.
Then the next question is are they broken up or do they run the full span?
They run the full span, front to back.
They run the full span and they're not broken and resting on top of that wall.
Correct.
All right, well then you can remove it.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I mean, the living room doesn't have a wall. And so I figured since they're all the same, that they're moving. But.
Yeah, we'll just get up there and make sure it's not broken up and resting on it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
You sound like a passionate man, Jason.
Well, I try not to step on anybody's toes.
All right, buddy. What do you do for a living?
I work for an environmental company.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do for that company?
Well, we live off the petroleum industry mainly.
Uh-huh. Can you convince your boss that you have a special needs child?
Well, no, not really, because I don't have any children.
I know, but do you think your boss... By the way, do you think there's... Here's the whole thing, is we were talking about at breakfast a few days back. You can tell anyone you went to any college. You can tell them you did almost anything. Short of being an astronaut, they're not going to check on you. They're just not. you could be 18 and say did two tours in NAMM. Everyone's just going to shake your hand and say they're proud to meet you. You go into a new job. You get a new gig. You go in. You sit down with the boss. You don't foist it on him the first day, but you start having conversation. Hey, do you have any kids? Yeah, we have three kids. There's Shannon and little Adam Jr. And then there's Joey. Oh, Joey has special needs. You just throw that in. He's not going to start. Oh, please. BS. I'm sure. You know what? Could you give me a picture of this kid in a medical report and an IQ test, okay? I'm not suspicious by nature, but I got a hunch on this one. No, you just go ahead. Have the two normal kids and then the one with the special needs. You'll ride that kid like a mule. Meanwhile, you can go home to your life partner, your gay life partner, and just have gay, unsanctioned by God, gay sex the whole time you're at home. You guys live in a one-bedroom apartment. Spend all your money on Amel poppers and drink nothing but fruity blender drinks for dinner. Meanwhile, your boss will never check on it. It'll never be like 6 months has gone by. Where's Joey? Haven't seen him around here. No. That's it. Once in a while, you get the well-placed phone call from the life partner if you want to go skiing or you want to go out of town. Yeah, all you got to do is tell him, want to leave early for a long weekend? Do me a favor. Call me Friday morning about 9:45. I'll be out of here by 10. Perfect. You know what I mean? That's it. And, you know, you worry a little about karma, but if you're a gay couple, you're not crapping out any kids. Who cares? You know?
You worry about karma?
Well,
talking about it?
I think if you know, I'm not. Oh, talking about
yeah.
it. Well, interesting. Well, I would explain to the karma gods I'm doing a radio show. Come on, buddy. This isn't the real me.
I think that's fair. I think that.
Give me a break, Mr. Lennon.
I was doing one of my comedy skits.
I was a comedy, one of those little comedy skits that chick at the dealership was talking about. All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. John Madden is calling in for the Madden Cruiser. He's on the way to the Super Bowl. Danny from Survivor, the winner of last year, the smoking hot gangly. Danny did the whole show in her underpants. She's going to be calling in. Busy Phillips, hot blonde, is going to be calling in from, coming in from Dawson's Creek. Rachel's doing her Hollywood happenings because we got all the Oscar nominations. Ozzy, big movie review. Capote.
Woo.
We got our social experiment to work on. All that after this.
Yes, man, check it out. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM. If you don't, I'll beat your ass.
Short and to the point. 866-901-ADAM. Oh, the Oscar nominations came out today. Very exciting stuff. Speaking of Oscars, we got John Madden. I believe he was nominated at some point. I can't believe if he wasn't. Shame on the Academy. He'll be calling in on his way to the Super Bowl. Danny from Survivor. It's weird because crack producer Bruska, kept saying, said a few times, Danny Boatwright's coming in. Danny Boatwright, I think to myself, the actress, the singer, Danny, the dude? Who's Danny Boatwright? And then I realize there's some people whose names you recognize less when they add the last name.
She did that little reality TV thing.
She did her little jokey skit thingy things. I don't know. I know who you are. I see through the eyes of my husband, but I don't appreciate anything he likes. How about, and by the way, mustn't be a long and horrible relationship that you hate everything your husband likes. He loves the man show. He loves the NASCAR. He loves the big boobies. Is there anything you guys can find common ground on? Or maybe that's a better way. Maybe that relationship goes on longer than the ones where they both share love for the sea. Because then he takes her on the boat and kills her. That's right. We both love the ocean so much, I thought I'd hit you in the head and throw you in it. You can finally go home. I like that. She's finally home. But she's dead, right? Yeah, but she's at home. Well, not at her house, though. No. At home. She finally went home.
Do you want to go see Shirley MacLaine's latest movie? Well, you know, it's Man Show night. You know,
yeah.
I like to watch them. You're welcome to sit here with me and watch the Man
yeah.
Show. No, I'll take off.
Hit Goodbye. The bricks. Has anyone ever been that rude or callous when they go, he's finally at peace? Well, he's dead, right? He's finally sleeping. He can rest. Well, him and everyone else who's dead, right? Everyone gets to rest when you're dead. I mean, all the people shot in the Civil War have been resting for a couple hundred years now, right? Yeah. Yeah, shut up. All right. Where were we? Yeah, Rachel's going to be breaking down the Oscar stuff. Ozzy, the great Oz man coming in. He's got a movie review. He's Al Capote. Oh, I bet he enjoyed that. He probably loved that. We're going to do some wallet dropping. But first, Rachel in a special edition of her Hollywood Happenings.
Yes, the Oscar nominations were announced this morning. And, of course, Brokeback Mountain, the big winner.
Mm-hmm.
Not winner yet, but winner of nominations.
How many?
Eight.
Eight?
Yes. Best Picture, Best Actor for Heath Ledger, Best mm-hmm. Director for Ang Lee. Of course, Walk the Line. I haven't seen Brokeback Mountain yet, though.
Yeah.
From Ozzy's recommendation, I hear it's fantastic.
You did? I heard something else.
I can never tell.
I'd like to start a service where somewhere in the middle of the year, but somewhere as we get toward the end of the year, somewhere around November, December, film companies and heads of studios and famous directors come up to me and bid for me to announce, I'll never see this movie, I have no interest in this movie, because it will always sweep the Oscars at that point. I saw the trailer for Brokeback Mountain 2 months ago when I was at the theater watching like King Kong, and I looked at my wife and it's like, you will have to drag my corpse into this theater, and even then I'll not comply. Believe me, I'll never see this movie. Will be here, it'll be here and gone. I'll never see. And of course, 2 months later, it's got 9 Oscar nominations. That's all I'm saying is you should ask me to put a curse on your movie if you run some Hollywood, if you're the head of a studio, because that's guaranteed gold. Guaranteed gold. All right.
I saw your Brokeback Mountain.
You did.
And I rather enjoyed it. The one thing I have mentioned before
really,
that I think is strange is that one of the two,
like?
That Heath Ledger's character
mm-hmm.
is named Ennis. Which is a little on the nose for me, you know. His
yeah.
name is Ennis. If you put a P in front of it, you know.
Yeah.
Or if you put an A in front of
yeah.
it, either way.
Yeah.
This is if you want your child to grow up and be gay.
Yeah.
Ennis. I don't think you can do any better than.
Yeah, you're asking for trouble.
Right.
Or he'll be a mixed martial art octagon champion.
Or if you want a special needs child.
Yeah, special needs.
I think Mitchell is a good name. Also, Cecil is a good one.
Oh, yeah, Mitchell's good. Yeah, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Write that down.
Back to your
Ennis.
Back to my little movie announcements. Johnny Cash, the biography Walk the Line,
mm-hmm.
actually shut out of the Best Picture.
Really?
Nominations. Hmm. Yeah, which is disappointing.
Sad.
I really like that. But there was some nominations for Best Actor and Best Actress from that movie. George Clooney picked up 3 nominations. One as a supporting actor
mm-hmm.
in Syriana, and also one for Best Director and Co-Writer in A Good Night and Good Luck, which I hear was fantastic. And, of course, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Best Actor category for Capote.
Do you think
Capote.
He's going to put on an extra set of glasses for the Oscars? I say he does.
On.
I say it's no longer enough that these guys start showing up in the bifocals for the award shows when we don't see it in the movie. I now say when the Oscars come around, you dust off the extra set of glasses. You put the glasses over the glass like an old person driving home from the optometrist. It's going to be awesome. I like when old people wear those huge goggles over, over
yeah.
the thing. It's a great look.
Anyway, right now here I have Mira Sorvino making the announcements for Best Picture nominees.
Best Picture nominees for 2005 are Brokeback Mountain, Diana Ossana and James Shamus, producers. Capote, Caroline Barron, William Vince and Michael O'Hoven, producers. Crash, Paul Haggis and Kathy Shulman, producers. Good Night and Good Luck, Grant Heslov, producer. and Munich. Kathleen Kennedy, Steven Spielberg, and Barry Mendel, producers.
Every year I hope Point Break gets mentioned in that group, and it never happens.
Interestingly, a lot of those movies are, I think people should, you know, vie for Ozzy to do a movie review, because it seems like most of those are ones that Ozzy
has seen.
He's
touched them all.
Yeah.
Yes. He's a good luck charm.
Yeah.
Also, I've not seen any of those, by the way. Usually I see one. I hear Crash is great. I should see that. All the other ones are just sort of... I understand. I'm sure Philip Seymour Hoffman in his three sets of glasses are as awesome as Capote, but I just don't want to see it. I know he's good. You know, it's that kind of thing where people, like, you just want to agree with people. I'm sure he's good. I know he's good. Now, could I move on?
Yeah,
I got some TiVo to watch.
Him? I love him. I love Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I did love him in, I loved him in the, what's my favorite movie?
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights, yeah, he was awesome as this sort of pot-bellied guy from Boogie Nights, the, sort of a closet gay guy. Yeah, he's great, but I don't want to see a movie about Truman Capote.
You don't want to see Munich? That's a movie that Steven Spielberg didn't have to make.
He didn't have to make, he hasn't had to make a movie in 30 years.
He didn't have to make that one.
Right, unless he got divorced and then he have to make something, make some money, yeah. But, yeah, I know, I didn't have to do this radio show, but that doesn't mean it's going to be good. You know what I mean?
Hey, do you want to hear the Best Actor and Best Actress nominees? Okay,
yes.
Well, right now, let's listen to Mira again with the Best Actor nominations.
The nominees for Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role are Philip Seymour Hoffman in Capote, Terrence Howard in Hustle and Flow, Heath Ledger in Brokeback Mountain,
Ennis,
Joaquin Phoenix in Walk the Line, and David Strathairn in Good Night and Good Luck.
I like that Terrence Howard. I think he's great. I think that for an MTV movie to be up there with all those other movies for Best Actor, that's fantastic for him.
Coulier's package snubbed again. So jealous.
Yeah.
It's a petty system.
Well, here's the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences President Sid Gannis with the Best Actress nominations.
For Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role, the nominees are Judi Dench in Mrs. Henderson Presents, Felicity Huffman in Transamerica, Keira Knightley in Pride and Prejudice, Charlize Theron in North Country, and Reese Witherspoon in Walk the Line.
Why didn't we send Ozzy to go see Mrs. Henderson Presents? I'd like to know what he thinks of that movie.
Yeah, well, that'll be his next project. And those movies like North Country or those once in a while, about every 8 years, they come out with a super depressing sort of skies are gray, filmed in a dust bowl. It's a great performance, but such a bummer. You just never want to go. I think that's it. And that other thing too, where really smoking pipe and hot chicks make themselves ugly. It is the equivalent to the guy who's going retarded in terms of the roles. You're shoo-in. She's so beautiful, but look, so courageous.
There's a lot of that.
She was
this
willing
year.
To make herself ugly
she
for 10 seconds.
30 pounds.
Yeah, first off, every guy I went to high school with and played football with has gained 30 pounds. Not heroes, fat asses. Hey, it's Chris Harden. We used to play next to each other. Wow, you're a mess. What
she
a hero.
For her craft.
What a hero. He packed on 80 pounds. You talk about a hero. But here's the other thing. If you're a piping hot chick and you got to go ugly for 3 months in Canada, big deal. You just don't put any makeup on, maybe put on 10 pounds, and you don't do your hair up. You realize you can take a beautiful woman and you can muss her up a little bit. Don't put the makeup on, Charlize.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you? You'd like
mess
to muss
up.
Her up.
I'd like to do the mussing.
Mm.
Like to hit her with my mussing stick. Yeah. Point is you can mess her up, no big deal. Just don't doll her up. If you want her to look beautiful, you put the makeup on, you do the hair. Just don't do what you normally do. Don't have the push-up bra. Don't put all the makeup. Don't do all the lighting. All of a sudden, she's so real. But then she gets to go back to hot at the end of the day. I'll tell you, I'd like to find a big, ugly cow and have her go hot. Now, that gets an Academy Award. She was a train wreck. She was a mess. Now, look at her, piping hot.
I challenge you to write that movie.
I'm going to write that movie.
All right. Well, that's it for now. I've got more later in the news, and that's the Hollywood happenings.
We will take ourselves a little break. John Madden is going to be on the blower. Danny from Survivor, in love with her. I love the show Survivor, and I love Danny. Loves sports, gangly, fighting in her underpants. Nothing better than seeing a chick. I'm guessing nothing, but it won't ruin it for me. Busy Phillips is going to be in here from Dawson's Creek and many other projects. Also, Ozzy got a movie review. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Hey, I'm listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla right now. 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. Plenty of show to go. First off, we're going to send Jerron out, our intern Jerron out, one more time with this wallet, and I'm going to continue my social experiment. We're 3 for 3 with one push. We have taken our wallet, and we just grabbed a wallet. We put cash in it, had $100, had $80. I think it had $100 yesterday. Jerron has just tossed it on the sidewalk, in the street, in the marketplace, and it's been returned because we put a phone number in it that said, if found, please call. Here's what I sort of think about people. People aren't bad. Some of them are a little opportunistic and will give themselves the benefit of the doubt. You know, if they back into your car and it's in a parking lot and there's no one around, they might leave. If you're in the car, they're not going to take off. You have to give them a reason. You have to give them a reason. Yeah. If you give them a reason, and that's the whole thing, if they find a wallet and the wallet's got a few bucks in it, they might take it. But if they see that thing that says, if found, please call, then it's a mandate. Now they're a bad person. Whereas before, they do that thing where they go, how's this guy going to get, I can't get this thing back to the guy. What the hell? He's never going to find this. But if you have the thing, now you can't ignore it. Now it's a cry for help as opposed, you know, it's one thing just to walk past some guy who's some bum who's sleeping on the street. But what if that bum cries out, help me, and you keep walking? Now you're a bad person. That is the help. That is the bum crying help. The special needs bum with the extra soul on his puma crying out for help. And that's what that number is. As a matter of fact, Bresca.
Yes.
Go to the Batcave and bust out that P-Touch. I now am going to put the number on my cell phone, on my wallet, on my... I'm putting my number on everything. I'm convinced this works. And you have some hope. If you lose your wallet, if you lose your iPod, your MP3 player, you lose your cell phone, you have hope that it will be returned. Whereas if you lose it, you lose your cell phone, your iPod, whatever, you lose anything else, you're just like falling into the lake. Otherwise, it's gone. Gone and gone.
All
what do you think?
Hope.
All we have.
Hope doesn't feed children.
That's right.
Doesn't put food in hungry mouths. Hope. What is this hope?
Wow, so bitter. All right, I'm gonna chalk it up to the horrible childhood you had, Rachel. And just growing up in Canada, I'm guessing it's a horrible childhood.
Yes.
Jerron.
Yes.
One more time, I would like you head out with this wallet. Whose money is in this wallet?
Right now, there's no money in the wallet, and Dave Damashek, I'd like to see him pull some money out of his pocket. I know it's painful for him, but...
Dave, what do you have? Yes, say you, Dave.
Yes, I'm noted for my thriftiness. I don't know, but painful.
What
twice
have?
I chipped in. Adam chipped in once. Rachel and Dave.
You haven't lost zero. A dime yet, bro.
Yes, what I you, have, actually.
Why don't he tipped out. He gave one guy $20 for returning it.
And he gave the rest. He gave the 100.
Yeah, he gave $80 to somebody.
The 80 to somebody
I
else.
I was just so surprised that these guys were so honest.
Yeah, well, you're from New York.
Plus, I also wanted to make the show look good.
You're cynical.
It's good to, you know, make the show look good.
Yeah.
But, you know what would really look good is if Damashek gets some money out of his wallet.
Yeah. What do you got? What do you got, Rachel Perry? We're only going to do this one more time.
What do I have? I actually have $20.
I think the $20 would be better also if we up the ante, if we, you know, make it about $200.
I maybe have $23. I got some change rolling around.
Well, let's see what you got. Empty out your sofa.
What happened to... No, I'm not... And not unless Dave gives up money, too.
Dip into
we're
that.
Not talking about me.
Dave
right
is giving
no,
it up.
I believe
you.
We were
Dave
talking about
Dave is giving
you.
It up. Rachel.
Take your shirt off and put that in the wallet, then.
Rachel, reach into that beautiful change purse.
Well, I don't have... I got to leave the room. I can't.
You know what I'm saying.
Oh, you mean the change...
You know,
the
you know where
change
the
purse?
You know where the birds are flying out of?
Yes. Then. Yes, the Olympic Stadium where the doves were released.
Look...
The vagina.
All right, go.
I don't think you can pay for anything with.
All right, I would argue it's the ultimate form of payment. But a guy would be excited to find your vagina in his wallet. He would never return it. I would scurry home and have my way with it. All right, go get your $20, no, Dave. Put up $80. That way everyone has a stake and we'll give it to Jerron.
He's just shaking his head.
He has money.
Yes or no?
He has $80.
He's just staying
mom. Unlike you, Brusk, I'll happily give my loot. I'm not going to bellyache for the next week about it.
The point is...
He's crying right now. There's a tear.
We're going to try this one more time, and if it works out, we're 5 for 5 with society. Meanwhile, I'm serious. I want that sticker. I'm putting stickers on my wallet, on cell phone. I'm going to put one on my forehead, my scrotum. I'm putting one everywhere in case something breaks off and falls into the curb. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we have Coach Madden calling in. Also, sports, news, all that after this.
Yo, this is Flavor Flav. Call Adam Carolla right now at 1-866-901-ADAM. Aight? That's 1-866-901-ADAM. Boy.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. We have news. We have sports. First, Mark, who offered up his house so generously for Oswaldo's party last weekend, which I attended. I know none of you made. Mark?
Yes.
You there? Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Your thoughts?
Well, it was a great party. Great to see you and Ozzy and a lot of people from the crew and cast and his friends and family.
Yes, of the TV show, not this crew or cast. Nobody from the radio show showed up. I was shocked not to see Rachel there. I was dumbfounded. Ozzy stood by the corner crying. We thought something had happened to you. I was worried sick.
Okay, you're mocking me as if you were like, you are saying the opposite. Like, you really didn't think that I was going to come. And it's not that I didn't want to come. I had prior...
Yeah.
I felt bad.
No, I heard you
Ozzy
talked. I heard you said
what
Ozzy.
It? What did you have to do?
She's got to think back to what she told Ozzy yesterday and get her story straight. Go ahead.
I had
she said
my
she was pregnant.
No, my child, my
she had another bird
special
coming
special
out of her vagina.
Was
Mitchell wasn't having a good day.
It's not, I mean, it's kind of it's
she,
sad. It's not
she
funny.
Told Ozzy she had friends come in from out of town.
We had friends in from out of town.
I had a party. You showed up with friends.
Yeah, but
why didn't you just bring the friends?
Because we was in Encino and we had like stuff that we had to do. I couldn't.
No, it was a full 11 miles from where you live.
I don't know.
No, you don't know Ozzy. Screw it.
No,
I'm busting your chops.
I know.
None of you showed up. Shame on all of you. I'm just busting Rachel's chops because I knew she definitely wasn't going. Whenever, and it's hard to argue with that since you weren't there, though, but we have a rich history of you bringing friends to parties, you know.
You don't like my friends?
I don't mind them, but you don't hesitate to bring them to a party. You could have brought them to Ozzy's party. You could have brought your friends to Ozzy's party. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they weren't really my friends, though. They were just people that I used as an excuse to not come to the party.
Like, nobody wanted to go to Ozzy's party. I didn't want to go either, but what are you going to do?
You just didn't have enough of an excuse.
Ozzy's parties are great because, first off, Ozzy busts his hump at the party because he's in charge of the food. So it's his party, yet he's just covered in sweat and soot because he's hunched over the barbecue the entire day. That's all he's doing is he's a Sherpa and a mule combined. He's packing all this food up and down the stairs. He's redoing the cooler. He's doing everything constantly. So nobody works harder than Ozzy, ironically, at his own party. The other thing that's funny is Ozzy's family will be in from Nicaragua. They don't speak a lick of English. I know that's a shocker. Ozzy's been in this country for 25 years. You've heard his English. Imagine his mother, who's never set foot on this sail, set foot on this soil. Imagine how good her English is. So they just have the whole family that just sits at the table, and they sort of seclude themselves. They just sit there speaking in their native tongue. And it's kind of weird. There's a part of you that wants to go say hi, but then there's another part that, with the language barrier, you don't have to. See, if they speak, this happens every time. When there's a party, it's when your friends party, at some point the folks show up. at some point the family shows up, and they'll always seclude themselves. They'll sort of sit in a table off the thing with people their own age and kind of talk about their stuff. Somewhere between judging and not noticing. But there's that point, that uncomfortable point of each party where you have to go introduce yourself. And hello, Mrs. Damashek. Yeah, oh, no. Oh, he's too kind. Oh, he flatters me. No, seriously, it's a pleasure. No, it's our pleasure. No, it's our pleasure. That weird, uncomfortable thing where you just heap praise on each other. They tell you how much their kid likes you. You tell them how great their kid is for about 10 seconds. It's a flurry, and then you get to leave. But you have to get it over with.
So, in other words, when you told Mo Damashek those things, you were lying?
Oh, I, first off, lying is a strong word, but yes. Yes, I was lying. My point is you have to do it. But when they don't speak English, you're cool. Just keep walking.
It's nice.
You don't have to do it.
You nod.
No, he's awesome. No, he's great.
Smile.
No, he's funny. He's funny on the. He does great sports.
Give him the
okay
sign.
That's Damashek. Yeah. Yeah. So, Mark.
Give him a bunch of hand signs. Thumbs up.
I love those birds coming out of his vagina. Yeah. Oh no, that's
Rachel. How say you?
I'm fine. How say you?
Yeah. All right. Any thoughts? Anything happen after I left?
Well, yeah, we got a couple offers on the house, which is, you know, wonderful.
Oh, good.
Yeah, everybody, you know, I hope they know it is for sale. And
yeah, get a plug in. He's selling it. It's nicely done. It's in Encino. It's beautiful. It's Beverly Hills adjacent. It's awesome.
Thank you very much. And if anybody wants to see it, I guess they can call the station or me.
Yes, go ahead and give your number out. Why not? You gave your house to Ozzy.
Thank you. It's 310-266-8436.
Thank you. Nice job, Mark.
All right.
Yep. Have the carpets clean, light off a couple of those holiday foggers. Places will be as good as new. All right. We will now move forward with the show, and it's time for young Rachel Perry to do the news.
I gotta tell you, the news is crazy today.
Yeah.
A female ex-post office worker opened fire at a processing facility in Santa Barbara last night, killing 6 employees and committing suicide.
I know. It's weird because you always hear about that stuff going on in Michigan and stuff, but Goleta, it's right outside of Santa Barbara. It's the college town. It's UC Santa Barbara. It's weird. These things never take place in beach cities because everyone's happy and stoned.
Yeah, but it's nice to know that post office workers are post office workers
wherever they
worldwide.
Are.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to find out where this person's from. I bet they're from Michigan and came out here and no one gave them the heads up. Oh, you know, we don't shoot people here. We drink wine coolers and relax. I was watching the news this morning. They made sure and underlined disgruntled. When you walk into your place of work and take 6 lives and wound 10 others, I'll do the disgruntled math. I'll assume you weren't excited about your work day. Yeah. And I don't like them including themselves amongst the victims. I don't like when they do that. 7 dead, 7 victims. No, 6 victims, one a-hole who did the right thing. They just didn't do it soon enough. They put the gun in their mouth after they shot everyone.
If you're going to commit suicide, why do you got to kill other people? I don't understand. Like, put yourself, you know what I mean? It's
the
same thing.
And in terms,
they're going to see you in hell through the looking glass.
In terms of that, meet your maker stuff. I mean, I'm an atheist. Even I won't F around with that. I mean, that, you know, I assume moments after you die, if you have any kind of spirituality at all, your life is up for review. Why have this be the last thing on your reel? Do you know what I mean? I mean, God could be looking at you. St. Peter could be looking at you by the pearly gates and go, oh, you're Catholic big brother. You're in the mentor program. Well, everything seems to be in a... Whoa, what's this? Holy. Oh, sorry. Denied. Big stamp.
You know, you would think having just been an employee at the post office would be sort of like a guaranteed get into heaven card. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you had to do that. We're going to give you a better life in the next one.
Sad.
But now you went and did this.
Sad. I would like to find out. Breska, find out where this person's from. They cannot be a local, said the person that shot up the Goleta post office. All right.
Why do they always do that?
I don't know.
And then why do they force us to always say, why do post office workers always do that?
I know it seems alarmingly high, and stand-up comics have picked this torch up and carried it, but it it doesn't happen in it happens in other businesses, but not nearly as much as this. All right, disgruntled, sad.
Well, a new tape of kidnapped U.S. journalist Jill Carroll aired on Al Jazeera yesterday. It was dated Saturday. She was weeping and wearing a traditional Islamic headdress. The U.S. says they will not give in to the demands of the kidnappers.
How's that headdress thing work? Is that like when you have a nice restaurant, you keep a couple of jackets back there in case a guy shows up in a denim shirt? Here you go. Put this on. Really? This ill-fitting blazer from the 70s is going to dress up your joint better than my denim shirt? Yeah, put it on. You think Al-Qaeda does that with the headdress? We kidnapped a chick. You got a burqa, sweetie? Oh, Christ. I'll go to the closet. Here you go.
That's why she's crying.
My buddy Don had to put pants on over his pants at a nice restaurant.
No, come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Go to the Comedy and Magic Club up the hill. Or not the Comedy, the Magic Castle.
Oh,
the Magic
Castle. I've always wanted to go to that.
It's awesome, except for the part where you have to pull some dead guy's dungarees over your jeans.
I don't understand.
They have a dress code. No denim. No jeans.
Magic Castle?
At Magic Castle. You could go in there with a pair of $110 designer jeans, but you would have to pull some slacks at one of your dad's buddies. The kind of slacks that Fred Mertz wore. And I Love Lucy. You'd have to pull those 40 slacks up over your pants and then drag them in. You look like a hobo. He looked like he crapped himself.
It's
awesome. That's it. We got codes.
We got a dress code.
Class the place up. People have to look like hobos. Yeah.
Samuel Alito is heading towards becoming the 110th justice on the Supreme Court.
Oh, do it already, please. Yeah. Enough.
ABC's Bob Woodruff and his cameraman are being brought back to the U.S. today. And George Clooney, as an actor.
Yes, he spoke out.
He spoke out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the son of a journalist. My father was in areas a lot of times that we all thought were a little too dangerous for people to be in. War time makes it even more dangerous.
Mm-hmm. So we did the wartime math. So if you're in a country and there's no war, it's dangerous, but if there's an actual war going on, it's even...
More so.
More. Oh, okay. I thought he meant less. More dangerous with a war going on.
Wartime. More dangerous.
Okay.
Than in peace.
All right. So you're saying if you lived in England in the 40s, you were in London in the mid-40s, and you're being carpet-bombed by the Germans, that period would be more dangerous than, let's say,
in the 20s. You'd be worse off being there
now. Okay.
Exactly,
okay.
Right. Yes.
Good. There you go.
President Bush will be giving his annual State of the Union address this evening. Coretta Scott King, the widow of Martin Luther King Jr., has died at the age of 78.
Mm.
And Bin Laden's right-hand man, Ayman al-Zawahiri... Sorry if I don't know how to... I mean, we're not friends. I don't know him personally, so I'm not sure exactly how to say his name. So
yeah, that middle Al thing, if everyone assumes that as a middle name, do we need it anymore?
Mm.
And I mean, if everyone's middle name in this country was Jason, would we have to say Dave Jason Damashek all the time? If it was Adam Jason Carolla and
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Sarah Jason Gellar. I mean, just you got the Al thing. We got it. Let's drop it. It's everyone's middle name there.
He released a tape that was broadcast yesterday on Al Jazeera. Busy day on Al Jazeera yesterday.
Sure.
Saying that he's alive. He may have added a nyan-nyan.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
He had, that was the whole thing. Was it? He said, "You don't know where I am. You can't find me, President Bush."
You didn't get me. Yeah. It says we
taunting.
Missed him.
How many times are we going to kill his number two man? You know, how many of those are there?
They just spring up.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, he said he's going to meet his death when God wishes, and he called Bush a loser. And then he said that Hillary Duff is wicked awesome.
Wow.
It was weird that he added that, but no, he really did. He said, my first message is to the butcher of Washington, Bush, you are not just defeated and lying about it, but you are, with God's help, a loser.
Then he mooned the camera.
Wow. Did he do the moon with the spread or just the moon?
Just the moon. He's got a little something called class, Adam.
He's classy. All right.
And, of course, the Oscar nominations just came out. Brokeback Mountain leads the pack with 8. Walk the Line shut out of the Best Picture category. Crazy.
Breaks my heart.
It breaks my heart.
Yeah, because now I say I'm into Johnny Cash. Radiohead and Johnny Cash are the two bands I say. It makes people think I'm smart. I won't say who I'm into, but I'll tell you who I'm listening to now. Who do you like? Who's your favorite band? I like everything. They never include country, by the way. I like everything from jazz to classical. I like everything from country to western. They never do it, but I listen to everything. Right now, I'm listening to Johnny Cash and Radiohead. I'm listening to Radio Cash.
Pompous.
Yes. They actually formed a super band. I just mixed the tape myself. Yeah, because I'm into Radiohead and Johnny Cash.
You like smooth jazz? I like smooth jazz. I'm totally into smooth jazz.
No.
No? All right. Well, I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Oh, I'll do it, all right.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 days from now, the Seahawks and Steelers will do it. Super Bowl 40, it's media day there. I'll get back to that in a minute. First, NBA last night. Clippers' 5-game win streak is over. They lost a tough one down in Miami. Those dang Shaq Fu snuck past LA's favorite pro team. In Seattle, meantime, Portland knocked off the Sonics. NHL, San Jose loses in overtime in Dallas. In Anaheim, the Mighty Ducks beat the Kings. You know the Anaheim Ducks, they've got new owners, so they've decided to change the name next season. You know, the Mighty Ducks, they were considering things like the Condors, the Bears. Know what they came up with?
No.
Ducks. No Mighty Ducks.
Just the Ducks.
Just the Ducks.
What's
now.
Worse.
Why? Self-esteem issues, clearly.
Yeah.
They're no longer Mighty. They're just Ducks.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
Interesting. Now, word out of Denver. Broncos coach, speaking of self-esteem issues, 13-3, second seed in the AFC, great team all season long. Mm-hmm. They met their demise at the hands of the great Steelers. Mike Shanahan met with Terrell Owens yesterday.
Really?
Looking to sign him, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, people are saying that's the missing part.
I suppose, but you really want that kook on your team? I say no.
You know, it happens every time with these sort of chronic offenders where they go, now he's finally got the message. They rarely
yes.
do.
Yes.
It's like, Manson, he finally learned his lesson. Let's let him out.
It's like a woman dating the troubled fella.
Yeah.
I'll fix him.
Yeah,
I know.
Finally.
I know he's had his troubles. Now, back to the big thing, the Super Bowl media day. I got the jump on the rest of the media. I may be a newbie to this business of news, but I got a teleconference with Sean Alexander.
Really?
Seattle Seahawks star running back. He was in a fender bender yesterday with a bunch of his teammates, including Matt Hasselbeck and several other guys. They hit an automated gate, I guess.
Really?
They're all fine. Their van hit it, but I wanted to talk to him, make sure he's all right. You know, he had the concussion in the first round of the playoffs. So I wanted to talk to him.
Can I just say this quickly? For the folks, anyone who does work those automated gates or does install that apparatus, you know the thing where you have to reach over and pull the ticket or swipe your key card? Go ahead and make it extend further out than the curb. Because I have to dive out of my car. I'm like one of the Duke boys every morning, sort of leaning with the whole torso. You have your choice. You can either drive your car so the two wheels go up onto the curb, in which case you can reach the thing and pull the ticket or press the button or swipe the key card, or you have to dislocate your shoulder like Riggs
in Lethal Weapon
to get the stupid. And I'm rangy and I have trouble. I could only imagine a special needs person.
Abnormally long arms
and still always pressed up the thing and leaning. Go ahead and make the thing where you pull the ticket at the gate or you punch the thing. Go ahead and extend it out just a little bit.
And here's another question.
Have a little gooseneck. Have it just go ahead and come out a little bit. How about that?
What
would be wrong with that? Instead of everybody, and then you get caught behind the short chick in front of you, has to get out of the car. Every once in a while, there's that old person that just can't make it. They're sitting too low in the seat, the car, and they're reaching. And go ahead and make it come out just a little bit.
Yeah. And, well, another question I've always had about that is when you go through the bank, you drive through banking thing to take some loot out, why do the numbers on that, on the driver's side, why do they have Braille, the numbers?
Yeah. They have to. Well, I'll tell you why. Because probably they only print up one version of that, and it has Braille. And it goes into all the ATMs, and they'll put it on the drive-thru as well.
All right, and quickly, so I'll get to the interview with Sean Alexander, my exclusive, in a little while. But quickly, the city of Detroit is alive with excitement, namely because, mainly because Jerome Bettis, their favorite son, is back. Perhaps his final game, they say, in the NFL. So they're thrilled. They're tickled pink in the city. And Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick decided to give the bus the key to the city. Yeah. And it's a special honor. Here's what he had to say about it.
It's a big thing for us to give a key to the city. Jimmy Kimmel wanted one, but we said no.
Ouch.
I got to tell you, though, the idea that a black mayor did not call him Jimmy Kimmel is a step in the right direction for our friends over there at the Kimmel Show.
They're all very familiar with this work.
I've not met a black man that didn't call him Jimmy Kimmel. And I'll take it a step further. If Jimmy's father was black, he would call him Jimmy Kimmel. He would mispronounce his own last name.
Well, and one thing I wanted to point out that, you know, listen, I try to be objective, but I'm from Pittsburgh, PA,
right.
And I'll not play that game. I'll not do it. And I'll say something that spells doom for these Seahawks.
Mm.
The team has already planned its victory parade.
Oh, no, you don't do that.
You're going down for that.
You don't
Karma
do that. You
says,
don't do that.
Says good night, Seahawks. Hello, Super Bowl.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Yes, it is. John Madden will be on the blower. He's in the man cruiser. He's on his way to Detroit, Motor City. Danny, the winner of Survivor, the hot underpants clad Danny is going to be calling in. Busy Phillips, speaking of hot, is coming in here. She's got a new show out, you know, from Dawson's Creek. All that. Oh, Ozzy's movie review. Capote. That's going to be awesome. We'll take a quick break. We'll do all that after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM. Let's do this.
Yeah. Smoking hot Danny from Survivor. She really is hot. She won last year's Survivor. She's going to be calling in. John Madden's going to be phoning in from the Madden Cruiser. A couple things first. First off, I want you all to witness this. Big Tad in the house.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I should say on the house. Well, I was doing well until I got you to print up a bunch of these labels, my If Found labels, because our little experiment is working, our social experiment. Jerron, you have the wallet. You're out on the street.
Yes, I am.
He has dropped the wallet four times. Bruska, who's a naysayer from New York, they ought to just start calling it Nay York because they're all such pouting Peters over there. Oh, you'll never get it back. And Brusco, obviously, when people do that thing where they go, nobody would give it back, they're essentially saying they wouldn't give it back. That's
right.
What they're saying.
That's right.
And all those people that go, hey, man, you better lock your door because a guy will screw you just as fast as look at you in this town. He's talking about himself. He's talking about himself. So obviously we found out something about Bruska. He would not return your wallet.
I was outside and I heard that is completely not true.
We are.
And I agree with you in the sense that some people will return the wallet, including myself. I just didn't think it would be.
Nobody you know and no one in your family and nobody
Everyone
in the mirror.
In my family.
Nobody in
nobody
the mirror.
Else in Brooklyn.
Take a good long
I'm
look
the only
in the
good
mirror.
Family in Brooklyn.
Take a
not
long look in the mirror. And when they say take a long look in the
I'll
mirror, they
what.
Mean a full length long mirror. Or it just the amount of time spent in front of the mirror. It's always unclear. Could you take a long look in one of those shaving mirrors that you put in the shower?
Either way, in that hypothetical situation, Bruska comes out a loser.
But knowing it's Damashek's money in this, then I probably would keep
it's
it.
It's my money, too.
Yes.
Yeah,
20 Canadian. That's $17
it was like $27
US.
$27 and a couple of quarters.
Here's my point.
I put it like 40 bucks.
Here's my point. I told Big Tad, now rejuvenated, because we are 4 for 4 in my book. We've dropped the wallet four times. We've gotten it back with all the cash in it. I said, Big Tad, bust out the Brother P Touch and make me up 10 labels. Now, I could have said 3 or 4, but I thought, I'll have some extra ones. I got a couple of iPods. I'll put them on. I'm going to put one on the old lady and one on the dog just in case there's trouble. So I said, here's the phone number. Do it up. And he looked at the phone number and he said, 55... 4-6, and I said, no, it's 5-5-4-6. 4-4. That was the last right.
Oh, no.
And then, I actually got the pen out and corrected. It looked like a 4 in the first place, but I actually made it into more of a 4. That's 5-5. 4-4, Ted. Well, let's take a look at what came out. Yes. 10. That's a rainforest now must be chopped down so that Ted can fix his mistake. He have 10 labels here. None of them are good. Only one number off, but dust in the wind, Ted. So go redo that, please. And it really reminded me, this is why we live in a society where no mayo gets you extra mayo. I've realized once somebody brings something up, and Tad,
yes, sir,
you're not a dumb man.
I'm not.
But I would be lying if I called you smart.
I'm not smart.
Okay, you're right in between. If you take an in-betweener or a dumb person and you bring something up, you will get that, even if the word no is in front of it. Like if you say to a dumb waiter, no mayo, he just hears mayo. And you get extra mayo. So that's why you can't bring stuff up. You can't do that. And that's why you should never waffle in front of somebody who's dumb. You can't go that, maybe I'll go with this. Maybe I'll go with that. I'll go with that. No, you'll get this. Don't bring it up. Because once it's out there, it gets into their head. It gets into the spongy brain matter. And it gets regurgitated into the pee touch.
I did it so I can get some radio airtime.
Well, done and done. Why don't you commit murder so you can get some attention? Because okay, it's the same strategy.
Sorry about that. I'll go do that right now.
All right,
now.
Go hit the bricks. Now, physically punch the ground.
Well, we talked earlier about the benefits of having a simpleton, you know, of having a mentally handicapped person around.
I'm going to need to use you.
Being reminded of the bad
I want to go home early Friday, Ted. Hang out. All right, Ted, go hit the P-touch and then punch yourself.
Okay.
All right, thank you. And where's our song? Where's our Big Tad song? Because I miss that, baby.
Well, he hasn't got laid in 24 months. He's got man boobs and a big old gunt. Standing 5'11", weighing 400 pounds. The scales begging for mercy, his penis is shrinking down.
Big Tad. Big Tad.
Big Fat Tad.
Big Tad.
Brittany took him out, said he's a real nice man. But he lives with his mom and spends a lot of time with his hands. So damn big, he's got his own zip code. And when he takes a deuce, he breaks the commode. Big Tad.
Big Tad. Big Tad.
Big Fat Tad.
Yeah, Big Tad, everyone. Brings a tear to your eye. All right, and look, if anyone has a number that ends in 5546... call up, because I got a whole bunch of P-Touch labels for you. I don't need them anymore. John Madden is on the blower. We have to take a break. Let me just check in with the coach. Coach Madden? You okay, coach? Coach, I know you're pretty broken up because Favre said he's probably going to retire. Hold on a second, coach. Wow. I'll tell you what. I will let you gain your composure.
It's sad when a big man, especially a man associated with the great sport of football, breaks down like a little girl. Hang on, Mr. Madden. Compose yourself. We'll get back to you in just a second. Yeah, Brett Favre may be hanging up his cleats. You know, when you stop having fun, it's time to quit. We'll take a break. We'll be back with John Madden after this.
Peter Griffin, call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. John Madden is on the blower. He's calling in from the Madden Cruiser. He's on his way to Detroit. He's hitting every Outback Steakhouse on the way, crisscrossing this great land of ours. But, and by the way, even, you know, when you're in a bus or a mobile home, and you're going to somewhere like the Super Bowl, even if you started off in Michigan, you'd have to drive to California just to say you drove across the land to get there. When you get in a bus, you got to drive. You can't just pull down the driveway and be at the stadium. And if you lived across the street, you have to pile in the bus, circle the globe, and then come back to the stadium. Madden is doing that, and he's on the blower. He's pretty broken up over the Brett Favre thing. You have some tape of that?
Yeah, he was talking about possibly retiring. He was asked if he's going to. Here's what he had to say.
If I had to pick right now, so once they just make a damn decision and live with it, I would say I'm not going back.
Wow. Wow. John?
I mean, that's like taking a, those meat thermometers and sticking them in my eyes.
Wow.
Why do you guys play that?
I got to tell you, Coach, he loved the game, but he's not having fun. He was, for him, it was like a backyard pickup game, and he was having fun out there. A lot of people think he was a linebacker stuffed into a quarterback's body.
Yeah, and he is. And he doesn't want to know an NFL without Brett Favre. That's the NFL that I want to be a part of, and I think you want to be a part of, and I think Brusca wants to be a part of, Dave wants to be a part of.
Yeah.
And any name that you can think of.
Phone screener Brian.
Brian.
Engineer Ron.
Engineer Ron, he's probably having the worst time.
Big Tad. I know he said it twice, but he's so fat you have to say his name 3 times.
Big Tad, I heard the song. Yeah. Right? So Brett Favre.
Brett Favre does need his own song.
I wrote him a poem once, Adam.
Oh, really?
Yeah, roses are red, violets are blue. I might like football, but I love you.
Wow. John. Coach, man, is it going to be tough to continue without watching Brett Favre out on the field, going to Green Bay, not knowing he can't go up on the horse trailer, knowing you'll never partake in turducken with him again?
Well, I don't think it's over yet. I mean, I'm not writing this one off or writing it up or whatever you write. I'm not doing that yet. I think that there's still a chance. I mean, today wasn't there. Yesterday wasn't the day Brett had to make the decision, so he might change his mind and make the world whole again.
But, Coach, and far be it for me to, play psychologist to the great John Madden, if not this year, then next year, maybe you should really face facts with this.
Yeah, I mean, I could, but there's never been a name as good as Favre. I mean, just listen to that. It rolls off the tongue. Favre. I mean, listen, Mike Vick. No, that's not it. Dante Culpepper. Nothing. I mean,
nothing.
Peyton Manning. makes me seem like I want to go to a stuffy, uppity school.
Right. Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. I read books. I Brett Favre. I mean, that's the guy who goes through pig slop to throw a football.
Well, I would imagine Roethlisberger, has some appeal for you, yes? Burger?
Yeah, because it makes me hungry. I mean, anytime you have burger in there or Burger Time, which was a great game, when you think about it, playing Burger Time was kind of like Brett Favre's career. At the end, you're going to have a great sandwich.
Not since the great the great Washington linebacker, Chris Hamburger, his Madden's taste bud's been so moist.
I want to meet a guy named Spaghetti. Spaghetti.
Our nice big white tight end named Bob Corndog.
Take a bite of that one. Huh?
Yeah, see, that's what you do. When Coach Madden starts feeling a little down and out, you just start bringing up food.
Here it is.
He snaps right back.
Give me turducken.
See?
It's bringing my life back.
Larry Pastrami. Yeah, there you go.
What a great call this morning.
There's nothing, Coach, there's nothing to say. Hey, look at it this way. If Favre retires, more you time, more free time, more face time with the great Brett Favre. You guys could shoot some golf, go to the Outback Steakhouse, hang out.
That would be so. And to think about 5 minutes ago, I was sucking on the tailpipe of the Mad Cruiser. I'm not going to make it.
It's feeling good.
It's a whole new world.
There you go, buddy. That's what I'm talking about.
A whole new world.
Yeah, life gives you lemons, you make Farvade.
Hey, that, I might try and market that.
Yeah, it'd be a good concert. Willie Nelson heading the bill.
Made 100%.
I now have tears of joy after that one.
That's good.
Perhaps that's what Favre could be made of, Madden's tears.
Yeah. All right, Coach, God bless you for calling in. We're glad we made you feel a little bit better. I know it's a dark day.
Yeah, you're right.
Thanks, Coach. Could you check back with us later on in the week?
Absolutely.
Thanks, buddy. We hope you feel better. Let's send him out like a kielbasa log or something from Hickory Farms. Coach John Madden. The great John Madden. All right. We have plenty more show to go. Oswaldo is out there. He's composing his movie review as we speak. He's going to come in here. Also, a beautiful, sassy, blonde, fair-skinned actress, Busy Phillips, who I have known. She used to come into Loveline, and she's, first off, great name, Busy. Nice name. And I hung out with her on the set of Dawson's Creek. Drew and I went out to North Carolina for a week to be on Dawson's Creek. A whole week on Dawson's Creek. It was awesome. We were doing Loveline, and there's a 3-hour time difference, so we were coming home back to our, coming back to our motel at about 3:30 every morning, and then would have to be on the set at 8. But when you do any kind of TV shows or anything where you need to be on the set, your call time is always 6 hours before they need you, which is fine. Unless you're doing Dawson's Creek and you're in North Carolina and you're up till 4:30 watching Balky and Company on a rerun of Nick at Night. Yeah, Bosom Buddies?
No. Perfect Strangers.
Perfect Strangers, yeah. That was on. The only highlight of the trip is at 3:30, they ran a rerun of Perfect Strangers, which I never find in syndication anymore, and I watch an entire episode from 3:30 to 4 alone, drinking my red wine in North Carolina, and then I would be on the set at 8:15, and then at 12:45, we'd do my first shot. I would try to nap in my trailer, except for some a-hole would tap on the door doing the backwards knock.
Yeah.
Every 5 minutes, wanting to know if I'm ready to go. And that whole thing where you go, just come get me when you're ready. Don't come get me to tell me, are you going to be ready when we need you? Actually, come get me when you need me. What is that part of life, by the way, where everybody, I know in this industry, everyone is scared S-less and feel like they're going to lose their job, so the big tads of the world just come bang on your trailer door all the time, wanting you, by the way, what do you want me to get, in a four-point stance? What's your definition of ready? I'm sitting on a sofa 2 feet from the door. You come in, I'm not going to be ODing on heroin and foam coming out of my mouth. You just come get me. I got the makeup, I got the hair. Come get me when you need me. They'll just keep coming. You're going to be ready? We're going to be ready. Then when they do come get you, the first one's always a false alarm. You go out to the set, you get there, the director, what are you doing? Oh, no, we got another 20 minutes. You go back to the thing, you sit down, your head hits the pillow, they come get you again. So that was my Dawson's Creek experience.
That's another reason why you need to start getting the reputation like Snoop Dogg of the pot smoking thing, because nobody cares. Everybody knows when he's on a movie, he's never going to be ready for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
He's not. You just need to start that reputation.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
And people will expect it.
No, I think the problem is we do not recognize the difference between chronic smokers in the rap community and Dr. Drew. If you're booking a show, you both have to get there 3 hours early. That's your lead time because Snoop almost screwed you last time. But if you tell Dr. Drew, get there at 5:46 in 20 seconds, that's when he'll be there. But we're all punished.
Yeah.
That's the way
Snoop.
That's the way society works, which is you go to the airport, you stand in a long security line, you have to walk through a metal detector and take your shoes off and take your belt off. Why? Because you're going to blow up the plane? No, because someone else might blow up the plane.
The 1%.
You have to get everywhere 3 hours early. Why? Because you're late? No, because Snoop smokes a ton of weed. That's why you have to get there early.
We got to wait at red turn arrows? Not because you can't be trusted.
No, because some idiot got no fender bender who has glaucoma in the right eye 28 years ago, and then some puss wanted an arrow put up. That's all. But we all have to be punished. See, we take the dumbest guy in society. We take the most criminal guy. Yes. If there's a stadium of 70,000 people and one guy chucks a glass beer bottle out onto the stadium and it hits a player, then we all must drink from foam cups. That's the way it works.
And that's how we're all like Jesus, because we're suffering for the sins of man.
That's right. That's right.
The idiot man.
Yes. Okay. And Mike Lynch is like Jesus because he's got the beard too. Although I don't believe he kept it cropped like you. I think he kind of let it fly. It's unclear whether they had those groomer things back then.
But I think Jesus might have worn the same sweatshirt every day, much like Mike Lynch.
They never really cover shaving on any of those biblical tales, and they never do it in all those things. Like, you know that thing where guys are trapped out because their plane crashes in the mountains, or it's 300 years ago and they're all on a buccaneer ship? How is it that most of the guys are shaving? How's that work? You never see them shaving? I know they had straight edges and stuff, but really? If you're out at sea and it was 300 years ago and you had to sort of make your own lather and sharpen your own thing on a belt, wouldn't you just not bother? Yeah?
I love the thing where they shave with the knife, with the Bowie knife.
Yeah, comes out perfectly, not a nick. By the way, I have
like
the
Raiders of Lost.
I have the triple edge safety
four.
Razor, and I look like someone put my head into a wheat thresher. All right, let's take a break. Ozzy, movie review? Yeah,
next.
Ugh.
For listening to the Adam Carolla Show, call Adam now at 866-901. Adam, thank you very much.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. Danny from Survivor. Beautiful, beautiful, long-legged Danny from Survivor. My favorite. Danny?
Oh, hi.
Hey. I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of Survivor. I watch religiously. I even have a Survivor dance I do at the beginning. Oh, hey, oh, yeah. I do a whole move. My wife is delighted.
Like a retarded kid
looking into an aquarium. Just, I do my crazy Survivor dance. But I'm a big fan and was a big fan of yours last season at Guatemala.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot. It was fun. I'm glad it's all over with, though.
Yes. What did you do with the $1 million?
I paid my taxes, first of all.
Yeah. How much do you have to pay? Is it pretty much just about 50%?
I cleared $650. So,
$650.
Close to 50%.
So you put $350,000 in.
Yes.
All right. Let me just say this very. Let me say this very quickly. We're always worried about what our government is doing to us. They may be over listening to conversations. Yes, they may have heard the discussion I had with the Wheez over the weekend about Audis. But more importantly, they want $350,000. To me, paramount. To me, the thing we should focus on. Forget about they may be monitoring what you're talking about on the internet. Let's focus on the point where Danny risks life and limb in the jungles of Guatemala, gets $1 million for her troubles, and the government, who doesn't get off their ass, immediately comes in and takes $350.
Yeah, it's not fair.
Who's the winner?
They need to starve through the jungle for a little while for that amount of money.
One day, the man should spend getting bitten by those bloodthirsty mosquitoes.
Yeah, oh, it's ridiculous. I still have scars from all those.
Oh, I'll tell you, I didn't know whether to cheer or get a boner when I saw you, or both. When I saw you dominating on the cargo net. Wearing those tight red little underoos you brought.
Let me tell you, you know, that basketball, the Mayan ball court game we played, they edited it down to make it look like we just went to 5 and that I scored 3 of our team's baskets. I actually scored 6 out of 10.
That's what I thought.
So, yeah.
Yeah, she dominated.
Girls, we were some basketball players.
She posted up under in the paint, no 3 seconds in Mayan basketball, evidently,
right.
And just dropped it right in the hoop each time, dominating the other women and looking beautiful all the while.
Well, thank you, because, you know, I was only like 100 pounds in my game. It was disgusting how skinny I was.
How tall are you?
5'10".
5'10", wow. And you got down to 100 pounds?
100 pounds, yeah. So it was pretty gross.
There's an interesting thing, and you tell us because you've lived it, but I talked to Jeff Probst about it. Nobody fills out a choker like Jeff Probst, by the way. That is a man. I couldn't pull off the choker. When you watch the show, you think, oh, these women, they're beautiful women, but most women, they don't travel overnight without bringing the kit with the makeup and the curlers and the whole thing. Somehow these women with no plucking and no mascara and no anything, just bathing in the swampy lake and being sun dried on the rocks with nothing, end up looking more beautiful as the show wears on. And I know they're getting tanned and they're losing weight, so the camera likes it. But Jeff also brought up a point, which is they're sort of covered with a drop cloth of their essence. It's starting to come through, the natural oils in the skin.
Oh, I don't know about that. I looked pretty tore up at the end of those.
I thought you looked amazing, and I'm always surprised that the women hold up very nicely. The hair,
well,
I think women spend too much time.
Well, you know, it's funny because now that I've had the survivor experience, whenever I travel, I don't take near as much as I did before.
Right. Yes, you appreciate the simple things.
Yeah, I just I'm a light packer now, but I think a lot of it has to do with me. I got so tan on the show, and so
yeah, it was
you
nice.
Know, that helps with making you look a little bit better.
Yeah, those huge pouty lips don't hurt either.
My face got so skinny, made my lips look.
Yeah, I really wore out that TiVo during the basketball game. I got to be honest. Thank God for the slow motion. Next year I go high def and look out, look out. Wife's going to have to move out.
You know, it's funny, speaking of basketball, you know, I'm a huge sports fan.
Yeah.
And then people ask me, I go, would you have done, because we filmed Survivor during baseball season.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, would you have done Survivor if it was during football or college basketball? And I said, no, there's no way. Never would have done it if it was falling during basketball.
Yeah, good answer. Yeah. Well, if you would have done it during baseball season, you may have missed pivotal game 28 to pivotal game 87 in the 500 game year that they somehow play. Yes, yes. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss the crucial 65 games that are bookended by another 180 games on each side of it, because if your team loses 28 of those games, they'll just be where they were when you left. The beauty about baseball is you could go out of town for 10 years and come back, your team would have the same record. Yeah, I don't know why they need 160 something games to settle the season, but you feel free to go out of town and come back. Football, you can't miss a weekend.
No, you can't. You can't miss a weekend. If you're a Royals fan, you can afford to miss a month and a half worth of baseball.
Speaking of football, Hogaboom, Gary Hogaboom.
Uh-huh.
I spoke to, and I'm sure you're all talked out, but I've not heard your opinion on this. I talked to Probst. I said, how did she know ex-NFL quarterback Gary Hogaboom without you guys tipping her off? And he promised, he was insulted that I even brought that up. He said, you sussed it out on your own. Gary Hogaboom hasn't been in the league in 15 years. He looks like he grows sprouts in Hemet, California. I would never think he was a professional athlete, especially after seeing him compete in some of the athletic things. How did you know it was Gary Hogaboom?
Well, the funny thing is, I was so sure it was him, but then after I saw him throw in a couple of challenges, and I even beat him on one of them, I thought, well, maybe he's not Gary Hogaboom, because he sure as I can't throw.
Right.
What was the tip, though?
Well, how did you know?
I don't buy the tale.
Okay. My brother went to Central Michigan. And Gary went to Central Michigan, and I went up there for a game, and they have a shrine of him, and I saw it, and it was funny because when I went to L.A., you know, for the final casting for Survivor, you see all of the Survivor, you know, possible contestants, but you can't talk to any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I saw him, it was funny because I was like, look, he looked, reminded me of Brett Favre a little bit, the way he looked, especially not Brett Favre was going a little gray.
Yeah.
But, and then when I was with my brother, I was like, that's so funny, I just saw that guy, and they have the shrine of him, I just recognized him from it, but I wasn't quite sure. I said before we even started the game of Survivor, we're in Guatemala, and we, you know, meet with Jeff and everyone. They go, so how are you feeling about everything? You know, what do you think about some of the people? Because we haven't had a chance to talk to them. They're just like, what do you perceive them to be? And I go, well, the one guy said he looks a lot like this guy who went to Central Michigan, and he played for the Cowboys. They go, Gary Hogaboom. But, you know, I'm not sure. And they didn't say anything. I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting.
Well, because he went with the first name Gary, you knew it.
Yeah, well, when he said Gary Hawkins, I was like,
Yeah.
And I tried to cover up, too, because people would have thought if he played in, you know, the NFL, then obviously they're going to think he's a millionaire, you know. And of course, he's for big money.
If you change your name, by the way, especially if you're getting a sex change, Don't go from Sean to Cheryl. Just go and pick a new name that doesn't sound any. If your name is Gary Hogaboom and you play in the NFL, go with Larry Minetti.
Yeah,
I think it was in Magnum PI. But the point is just go with a new name altogether. Don't come up with something close, because if somebody is thinking about it, like the beautiful Danny, she'll know. Now,
and the funny thing is too, when I start talking to him about, I go, "Aren't you from Michigan?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "We went to Central Michigan, right?" He goes, "Well, I went to Central Michigan, but I didn't play there." And I'm like, "You pretty much
did a
couple of right there, Gary."
Wow, smart and knows football, Dave. Our sports personality, Dave Damischek.
I know football.
He knows football.
Now, you're much ballyhooed, you know, Danny, it's a great story.
Right.
Danny wins Survivor. She's in sports. She's a huge sports fan.
But do you really love sports?
Maybe that's too beautiful to know football trivia. You want to ask? And let Dave ask you a couple questions, see how much you know.
Let me tell you this real quick. I love football. You know, and I grew up a Chiefs fan and everything, but college basketball is what I'm absolutely insane about. And on my sports radio station, we have a thing called Stump the Chump.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go on there with the guys and when they do college
hoop, college hoops. But what about Chiefs ball?
Quid pro quo.
I'll
ask you one. You can ask me one right back. College basketball. I defy you to stump me.
Here we go.
Basketball. Okay.
Right. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna start with some Chiefs trivia.
All right.
Okay. Chiefs trivia. Oh.
Super Bowl IV.
Mm-hmm.
The Kansas City Chiefs won their one and only Super Bowl crown.
Mm-hmm.
Who did they beat?
They beat Minnesota.
Very nice. Wow. I started.
Wow. Easy.
Simple. Started easy. I don't want to, you know. Yeah, all right, Danny, let's go. Right back.
What do you want to college basketball?
Yes.
If you wish.
Okay. Who did Kansas play 1988?
Oklahoma.
In the Elite Eight. Pipe down over there.
Wow.
In the Elite Eight in order to go into the Final Four. Who did they play and beat?
They defeated Kenny Anderson and Georgia Tech.
Really?
K-State.
What?
Kansas State.
K-State.
Yeah. Wow. Incorrect.
Well, now we got
it.
We'll find out.
I don't buy
Ozzy,
that
we'll
one.
Ask Ozzy. Ozzy? Ozzy, when I yell your name, don't lean away from the microphone.
They beat Kansas State. Really?
That's right, yeah.
All right. See, she knows. What college did the Nigerian Nightmare attend?
That's a good one.
Azusa Pacific.
All right. Wow. She knows her business.
All right.
Danny.
Impressive.
Now I'm even more in love with you. If that's possible.
Good.
Yes, yes. When
you think I was a pain in the butt.
You ever get out to L.A., Danny?
I do occasionally, yeah. Family out there. So I come out to visit often, pretty often.
All right. Well, come pay us a visit.
I'd love to, and then we'll have a real sports trip.
Yeah. Oh, no. I don't mean in studio. When I say us, I mean me and my genitalia. I'm sorry. I'm in love. My wife will understand.
I thought you were having her over here to replace me once and for all.
No, not in studio.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah. No. All right. Thank you very much, Danny.
Some woman.
She did know her sports.
That was impressive.
Yeah.
Azusa Pacific, she knew.
Wow. All right. Now... Oswaldo, the great... Remember, Ozzy, let me just give you a quick radio tip. If you hear your name yelled into the microphone, don't lean back away from the microphone. Okay. Lean toward the microphone. That's your friend, buddy, yes?
Okay.
Okay. Did you have a good time at your birthday party?
Yeah, very nice, man. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Nice cooking?
Nice cooking. Nice food.
Nice
very
food.
Very good. You know, friend.
Mm-hmm. Horizon Foods, by the way, gave him the food for free.
Thanks. Oh, really?
Thanks,
oh,
wow. Horizon Foods.
Wow.
Yeah,
nice
you know, Charlie, you know, the guy for Horizon Food, his donation, you know, Chicken Cabot.
That's
my
right.
Party.
It's a great plug. I bet his phone's ringing off the hook now.
Chicken what?
I don't know.
Cabot.
He gave the chicken coward. And did you get my present?
Yeah.
My generous, generous gift?
Yeah, very, very, very good.
We got him a gift certificate at, like, the food barn or something. Here's the thing about Ozzy. Ozzy likes food. He likes cooking food. And here's the deal. If you get Ozzy a gift certificate for $1,000, he'll spend $900 of it on you. So you just go give him the thing. He goes to the store, spends the money, buys the meat, and then brings it over to your house, cooks it, and you eat it.
Classy.
Smart. Yeah. Never stops giving. All right, Oswaldo, you saw Capote?
Yeah, I see Capote.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's hear a review.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
Hold on. I got to say my favorite part of the review, and now I lean back and just enjoy it, is the song finishing... Two beats, Ruska pointing the finger at Oswaldo, and then another three beats while he leans back and sort of collects himself. Give him the finger, by the way. Give him a little earlier, because you got to do the math. You got to do the pause math. There's a delay. All right, let's try that again. Let's try it again. Ozzy, you start your review when the song ends.
Okay,
buddy. Here we go. Let's try it again. Here we go.
I mean,
I'm gonna give him an earlier cue.
Yeah, give it to him out in the hall before he comes in.
Tell us about some movie.
noise movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
The movie that I saw was Capote.
Mm-hmm.
It's a star of Philly Seymour.
Said it really well. I understood that.
Chipotle. Yeah, okay.
It's a star of Philly Seymour Hoffman.
Who?
It's Roman Capote.
Who? Capote?
Who's
starring in it?
Seymour Hoffman.
Senior Hoffman?
Yeah.
All right.
Hoffman.
Mexican Jew. Senior Hoffman.
Roman Capote.
Greatest mariachi lawyer in the land, Senior Hoffman.
Catherine Keener is Neil Harper Lee. And Clinton Collins Jr. is Perry Smith, the murderer.
All right.
The film is based, you know, in true story about the murder, the four well kind of families in the Clutter, Fort Clutter, mm-hmm. in Holcomb, Kansas, in November 1959.
And the story's about who?
The murder of the four well-known far families.
Mm-hmm. The four families.
For the Clutter.
The Clutter.
It's a murder.
Clutter, yeah.
The murder of four, yeah, right?
The Clutter, you know, it's...
In cold blood?
It's the gang, you know, with the killer, the family.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What's the name of the family?
What?
It's
What's the Clutter?
The Clutter is the gang member, you know, the killer, the family.
The gang member?
The gang member.
The Clutter.
Well, I speak
fairly fluent Oswaldo, and I don't know what the Clutter is.
The murder of four well-known farm families for the Clutter in Holcomb, Kansas in November of 1959.
For the Clutter.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
All right, well, that's not Ozzy's fault. That's a typo.
This is some sort of political, historical thing. I don't know.
Go ahead.
What I understand, you know, about the movie is that Mr. Capote is a famous writer, you know.
A famous writer, right. What is his first name?
Truman Capote.
Truman Capote. All right. Keep going.
He tried to write, you know, a book about the murder after mm-hmm. they saw the information in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mr. Capote... is in the investigation with the murder, he makes the combination of the feeling and compassion.
Uh-huh, feeling compassion.
Yeah. After the execution, the South Perry hanging in the road,
mm-hmm.
he made a big trauma, and he did finalize the book.
Mm-hmm. He didn't finish the book?
He making, you know, big trauma in the time, saw, you know, the guy, you know, hanging in the road, you know, for the sentence, you know, that. Mm-hmm.
They hung him.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the rope. You don't have to say rope. We know what they hung him on.
Okay.
You know, they didn't hang him on blonde hair.
My favorite part, you know, in the movie is the execution. You know? The guy.
Yeah.
Like the killer, mm-hmm.
On the rope.
Mm-hmm. The rope. Yeah. Right.
He never worked again.
Never worked again. Capote never worked again.
Never.
That's what happens when you get...
Yeah.
He left the review call.
Wow. He left the review call.
Yeah.
Wow. He didn't like it. Boring? Was it boring, Ozzy?
No.
No?
Yay or nay? Do we see this movie?
You were miserable watching this movie, right?
Yeah, a couple of times, you know, I was sleeping.
Oh, you slept a couple of times. Yeah, like when Brusca cued you 10 minutes ago. And what about Philip Seymour Hoffman? Do you think he should win the Academy Award?
Yeah, he make, you know, good character, you know, they make, you know, the sexually movie man, you know.
He's a good movie man.
Yeah.
Just before, he's a good movie man, so he should get the Academy Award. By the way, all this is going to go in the paper tomorrow under Capote. Oswaldo says, take it a movie. Make it a good movie man.
for your consideration.
So before you leave, Oswaldo, just give me the names. Give me the Philip Seymour Hoffman and the Truman Capote. That's all I need.
Truman Capote.
Right. Oh, good.
You know,
that was good.
Is Seymour Hoffman.
He's what?
Seymour Hoffman.
Hoffman.
Seymour Hoffman. Oh,
Seymour Hoffman. Yeah.
Hoffman.
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 Same husband.
Hoffman.
Seymour. Philip.
Seymour. No.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. Philip?
Felix Seymour Hoffman.
Philip?
Felix?
Philip?
Felix.
Philip?
Philip?
Philip? Philip, right.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Seymour?
Seymour?
C.
Seymour.
Yes, like you're saying, yes.
Hoffman.
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 Hoff?
Hoffman.
Yes, now put it together.
Felix Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Whatever.
All right.
And that was Antoine's movie review.
Nice job, Ozzy.
Did not end up too confused. Oh, no, no.
Ozzy's got some notes also where he wanted to say something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, let me say something over my party, you know. Mm-hmm. Let me say very, very, very good thank you, you know, to you, your person, Alan, and your wife, Lynette.
Mm-hmm.
To Jimmy Bracco and Angie Fisherman, the producer.
Angie Fisherman and Jimmy Bracco?
Yeah.
All right. Legendary mobs, you know, from the Gambino Crime Syndicate.
All crew, you know, for the 97.1
yeah.
FM.
Yeah.
My wife, my mother, and my friend, Mr. Michael Gardner for Horizon Food for donation the chicken cabot.
Mm-hmm.
And in special for Mr. Mark and Dorothy Primack.
Mm-hmm.
For donation, the wonderful new house for my party, and very lovely and nice family.
The music starts swelling, by the way. Play him off. All right. We're almost out of time.
That was very nice.
You don't, how about your agent?
Thank you.
Look it. We'll be back with more of the 23rd annual.
Thank you.
All right. Nice work, Oswaldo. Great job. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
To the Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Yes, he is. Speaking of hot, busy Phillips in studio. Great to see you, baby doll.
Thanks.
Busy and I are dear friends. We've mm-hmm. worked together on many projects.
Many projects.
Tell you what I like about Busy. She's so generous. When we were doing Dawson's Creek about 3 years ago, she, I expected a different Busy when I got onto the set. I thought, well, she's busy Philip. She knows it. She's going to be filled. She's going to be pompous. She's going to be demanding. I met a different woman. Unassuming, generous.
A job, by the way, I want to point out that I believe you only got because of me. I pitched the story idea that you and Drew came and did Loveline on our campus. I believe that was my pitch.
Really? Rachel, you punch her. You're closest. Worst week of my life.
I like her. I'm not punching her. Besides, she looks like she could just kick my ass.
Everybody says that.
She's tough and beautiful.
Yeah, but I bet you could.
I bet I
Come
could.
Come on. You should try. Just try it so you can prove me
you
right.
You and Danny from Survivor should go at it. And just for an audience of moi, I'll put a tarp down. Not for you guys, for me. And you guys just go at it. I will just watch and enjoy.
That would be nice.
Thank you.
Fizzy, did you find that Adam was a giving actor himself? Did he take chances?
He hated it so much.
He would
walk on, go to the craft service, complain about the craft service. Come on to the set, say his three lines, get on the phone.
Yeah,
he was wheeling and dealing.
Yeah. I was just pretending like I was talking. To someone.
I know.
I didn't want to talk
you
to
him. You did hate it, though.
Well, you know, we were doing Loveline all night till 3:30 in the morning and then having to get to the set early.
Right.
And I had, it started off in a bad way because I knew 2 weeks earlier that I was going to do this or maybe a month, and the Dawson's Creek people were like, well, we'll fly you out Sunday. Your first day of work is Monday morning. You have to be on the set Monday morning at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a 9:30 a.m. flight leaving LAX on Sunday. And I said, well, why do I have to be on such an early flight Sunday morning if I don't need to be to the set
right.
until Monday? And they said, well, there's only two flights out of L.A. One of them leaves at 9 a.m. out of L.A., and the other one leaves at 2 p.m. out of L.A. But if you miss that flight,
right.
you don't get there, thus we don't shoot. Thus, no, you have to charter your own plane. I'm sure they pulled you this.
That was my life for years,
right.
you know?
So their deal is we put you on the 9 o'clock flight. If you don't want to take that, you take the 2 o'clock flight. But if there's a problem and you don't get to the airport or the flight is canceled, you then reach in your pocket and charter a jet to fly you to somewhere you don't want to go. All right. That's how you do it. So, of course, I said, Oh, put me on the 2 o'clock flight. I got no problems. I'll be there. I'll be there Sunday at 1 o'clock. No problems. Yeah, put me on there. Are you sure? Because if you missed a flight, you will have to charter your own plane to North Carolina. No problem. No problem. Have the car pick me up at noon. We'll play it safe. Well, that was Sunday. Sunday, March, whatever. You know what was going on that day? A little something called the LA Marathon.
LA Marathon will get you every year. Every time. It will ruin your life, the LA Marathon.
Yes.
Because it's that box, and you cannot get around it.
Here's the thing about the LA Marathon. First off, it's 26 miles. Well, let's just go ahead and do it a quarter mile at a time. Go to the end, touch the garbage can, come back. That's a quarter. Four more times, that's a mile. You only have to do it 128 times, and you've completed the coverage. But no, what they do, they circumnavigate the entire city. Oh, where's the thing start? Well, it starts on the ace man's doorstep. And where's it go? Everywhere he wants to go. And we have to close off every street and block off every freeway. L.A., you know, normally not a problem with traffic in this town, but when the marathon is cut loose. And here's the deal. The thing starts at like 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. If you cannot finish a goddamn marathon in 6 hours, you can't run a marathon. That's my thing, because otherwise we all eventually will complete a marathon. I think I've walked a marathon just walking out to buy cigarettes and coming back every day. Eventually, you'll complete a marathon if we use your structure. Yes, eventually everyone will cover 26.2 miles. You have to do it in a time. And all that thing where, like, look at her. She's morbidly obese. She stepped on a landmine in Korea, but she's going to finish. She's going to prove it to herself. Listen, if you have something to prove to yourself, do it at home. Do not block off Olympic and Bundy so you can prove it. So, what happens? The car doesn't get there. I know. I know. I'm still angry. So.
I know. So many years later.
I don't get to the airport because there's no vehicle that can make it to my home in the Hollywood Hills because every street around it has been blocked off. Yes.
So, and because you'd made such a big deal about the fact that you weren't going to miss the flight and that you were going to be there.
I'm serious. Can't we have the L.A. Marathon in Oregon this year? Just because it says L.A. Marathon.
Why not straight along the coast?
Yes.
There's 26 miles of coast.
Go hit that boardwalk, you kids.
Exactly.
Let us use our town on a Sunday. Every street. All right, here's the deal. But seriously, here's how you do it. 4 a.m., the gun sounds. You begin running. By 10, we take off all. Now, if you
final
still.
Final buzzer sounds.
Final buzzer. If you still have something to prove to yourself, fine. I'll be driving alongside you in my car while you're wheeling yourself in the wheelchair, doing whatever you're doing. It's on. It's just on. You still complete it. It's just traffic has opened up. Let me ask this to everyone. Busy?
Yeah.
Anything sadder than the person who's in the wheelchair who is powering themselves with one foot? Do you know what I mean? Not the arms.
Backwards,
not the arm wheeling.
Backward.
The one foot push.
Backward.
The one foot wheelchair push. Sad.
It is the saddest.
All right. Now, and I'm supposed to interview Busy Phillips here, but I got angry about this.
I know. Every time you see me.
What are we promoting here, Busy?
I'm on a TV show called Love Inc.
Ah, yes.
It's on Thursday nights on UPN at 8:30, right after Everybody Hates Chris.
How is the merge going to affect you guys?
You know,
the recent WB-UPN merge.
It's insane. I guess I technically no longer have a network.
Well, you have the new UPC or whatever.
The CW. Yeah, I'm not quite sure because they haven't, you know, I think they're still going to do pilot season. I think that they're going to pick from both networks' pilots and do pilot season.
Seems like this is a better plan. It seems like the WB and UPN have been hanging around, had some success, but never going to climb that mountain like
Absolutely.
One of the big networks.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just join forces?
Well, and they were fighting for the same demographic, which makes no sense, like
right.
because it's such a limited demographic to begin with. So, you know, the WB has historically had really good luck with the teen soaps or the hour dramas. Like Dawson's Creek, and UPN's really good at developing comedies, specifically urban comedies, so they're going to sort of join forces. And
Let me make this comment, and I hope it's taken in the spirit in which it's intended.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think most people, most actors, you give them a choice, and you say, well, you want to be on UPN, you want to be on WB, or do you want to be on ABC, NBC, or CBS? They'll pick the big three network. I say not a great strategy,
you know,
because you get Emily's Reasons Why Not. It lasts one episode, and they give you the hook.
Absolutely. No, I think that there's something really valid to that. Like, I think that the WB and UPN are able to keep shows on the air, maybe because they sort of fly under the radar
a little room to grow. Plus, how good is your show going to be in the first episode anyway? I mean, isn't it take a few under your belt to sort of hit your stride?
Yeah, and it's really depressing, especially when you have shows like Arrested Development or like the show I was on, Freaks and Geeks, where, you know, the network doesn't have the time to let you develop an audience.
If Freaks and Geeks, was that ABC?
No, it was NBC.
NBC. If Freaks and Geeks was on the WB, it'd probably be going into its 18th season right now. Yeah. All right, we will take ourselves a little break. The beautiful Busy Phillips is here. I think we're going to play some hypothetical questions.
Awesome.
With the beautiful in Busy Busy after this. 866-901-em. Wow, speaking Grecian.
Indian.
Beautiful. One-em. Hey, let me ask you this hypothetically. Has an Indian ever been wrong in a movie? What's happening? Chief Running Bear, what's the problem? Bad feeling. But turns out nothing happened. He just had an eerie premonition, but they were fine. I would like to ask that. Busy.
What's up?
You ever seen a movie where a dog or an Indian was wrong? You know what I mean? You know that movie? Here's the movie.
Hold on.
A dog or an Indian just turned their instincts, turned out 180 degrees off. Nothing wrong. Here's the movie. You play a beautiful woman who's a computer. You're blind. Mm-hmm. But you know computers. And a man from work comes to your home. He says he's going to help you hook up your new computer so you can work. And he comes in, and all of a sudden the dog starts growling.
Right,
you're like, Chipper, what? She never growls at anybody. but we have a close-up of the dog growling. Doesn't like it. But the guy seems sweet as sugar. Sweet as sugar, but the dog's growling. And as it turns out later, the guy turns out to be harmless. Friendly guy. We don't even see him again in the movie. Dog was wrong. My dog barks his ass off all day, every day. And if everybody he barked at was evil, it'd be a horrible society we'd be living in. Because there's nothing that the dog won't bark at. Yeah, maybe a dog's wrong. Why not?
Yeah, my dog's wrong.
How about
almost
an Indian?
Every day.
How about an American Indian with an eerie premonition? Not having we're at the campfire.
Right.
Now we're doing the cowboy movie. What's happening with Crazy Bull over there? He's sitting alone. What's the matter? Come on, join us. Bad feeling. He knows we're heading into a bad direction. Turns out all we find is water and chicks where we're going, and it's a good time. Nobody gets hurt. We all go home. Ever seen that? Let's make that movie. Write that down, Busy.
I will.
I'm going to put you in some features.
I'm going to pitch it.
I saw you in White Chicks on cable.
Yeah.
The other day. Always excited to see you dance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turn on.
Yeah, the dance sequence.
Yeah, it was good.
It's an art form, let me tell you.
It was good.
It was really intense. They hired this woman, Tina Landon, who I guess is like Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake and like all the Christina Aguilera's choreographer. Mm-hmm. And she came and just kicked our butts for like 2 weeks. And then we got on set and we were so proud of ourselves, all the girls. And we do the dance sequence for Keenan. It's the first time he's seen it. And he's like...
He's like Puff Daddy.
He's like, it's too good. It's too good. It's not funny. It's too good. I swear to God. He's like, they need to look like white girls who don't know how to dance. They look like fly girls. No.
Wow. Racist.
Yeah.
Yeah. White people can dance. We'll find one day.
Apparently I could.
Busy.
You know?
Too good. Too well.
Too good.
Love, Inc. is the name of her show. Thursdays, 8:30.
It's really
on
funny.
UPN. We're going to play a little hypothetical question game with you.
I'm into it.
I basically just have these hypothetical questions. People, you have to drive cross country. Cross country from the pier out here in Southern California all the way to New York City. I'll ask you who you'd rather drive with, and you give me your answer.
Okay.
All right. Let's start again. Start off. Born again gangbanger. This is the guy who's killed people, has the teardrop tattoo. You know, the guy from the bad neighborhood, but now he's found Jesus Christ. He won't stop talking
and
about
it.
He's born again. That guy. Or the greasy, banged guy from the Midwest with the big bucket size head, the teenager who wears the puka shells that are too tight. friend of Tad. They always interview him. You know, if you watch 2020 or 48 Hours, that's the friend of the kid who killed the guy out in the woods. weird greasy bangs, huge bucket head, big red head white guy, like the puka shells, cutting the air off to his brain.
You can stop. I know.
Who do you go?
Born again, gangbanger. Yes.
No.
Yes.
You're wrong. That guy will put a shiv in you before you get to Utah. He will, because here's the thing. He's born again now, but he's killed before, and once he tastes blood, that's it. Too dangerous.
All right.
Bucket-headed guy. It's Big Tad, stupid conversation.
But he probably has acne. And
well, would you rather look at a guy with a pizza face or feel the cold blade of death in your liver?
Well, this guy, the puka shell fellow, one, is going to want to listen to Disturbed and Stained the whole way.
I can't get behind it.
And he's going to, at some point, he's going to awkwardly make a pass.
But the other guy dumps you on the Zizix exit before you even make it to Nevada, and God knows what he does with your beautiful corpse.
Maybe.
And they do that thing at your funeral. She was so beautiful. Not anymore. All right. I'd say you're wrong on that one. How about this one? The lady who thinks her dog is a person.
Mm-hmm.
Or, won't stop that.
Your wife? AKA my roommate.
There's a little twist on that. My wife is taking it further. She thinks she's actually a dog. She thinks they're both dogs, and I'm a weird human, and they talk about me in a weird language. I don't think I can understand. So the woman that thinks her dog is a person, or the sober guy with the ponytail who never stops giving the dates out. March 26, 1986, had my first sip of grain alcohol. You know that guy?
I would obviously take the woman who thinks that her dog is a person.
You don't want the blowhard guy with the salt and pepper ponytail and the huge calves?
Wait, is the dog there too, or just the lady?
Dog's there, yeah, and she's talking to the dog.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought that song.
What is wrong with my answer?
Because the ponytail guy's loved and he's lost. You can learn something from it. The other one's just conversation with a shih tzu. All right. Hang on, busy. You're 0-2.
But I like a shih tzu.
All right. I'll give you one during the break. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll be back with more of the beautiful Busy Phillips. And we'll play a little more of the hypothetical
question. I don't know if I can take it.
Where no answer is wrong except for Busy's. After this.
Yeah, man. You are listening to Adam's Carolla Show. Call Adam's now at 866-901. Adam, yeah, man.
Yep. I love the Hasidim, too. Beautiful Busy Phillips in studio, 866-901 Adams, the phone number. We're going to play a little more hypothetical question for her. So far, 0-2. I'm surprised.
I'm surprised, too.
Lexi, make a comeback here. Right. First, David.
Hello.
David, may we put you on the radio?
Sure.
Thank you. David, you found a wallet.
Yeah, I did.
Is there money in the wallet?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't really look in it, but yeah.
How much money is there in the wallet, if you would look and tally it, please? I think we had $109.
$70.
And one of Damashek's spent condoms from his first year over at...
I put in all the singles and fives, so it's
$129.
$129. He actually put 20 into the wallet, according to Bruska's math. No. Talk about Good Samaritan. People finding wallets, not only calling the rightful owner, but actually placing,
sliding the extra mile,
sliding a 20 in for the effort. So, David, what do you do for a living?
Right now,
yeah. You hear right now before it's never. Right now,
I'm
marine biologist, attorney.
Student right now.
Student. All right. And what college do you attend?
West Los Angeles College.
Junior college.
Yeah.
What are you taking?
Political science.
Civics. Political science. Nice. And you found the wallet, and did you ever think for a moment, I'm going to keep the money? You're a poor student.
Well, you know, actually, no, I would never have thought that.
No, tell us the truth.
But tell us the truth.
Honest. We don't care.
I mean,
no one can see you.
Honestly, when I found a wallet, and I was right outside of a corner store, and I went in the store and asked everybody, you know, hey, did anybody lose a wallet? And I asked a couple times, nobody said anything. And I didn't even bother to look in, and I looked around everywhere, I didn't see anybody, and I just decided to,
Thank you.
I put it in my backpack, and I figured I walk to work every morning, so once I got there, I was going to call.
You're a hero. What do you do for a living?
Well, I work at See's Candy right now.
Oh, what a job. What a gig.
I love See's Candy.
It's awesome stuff, and you have that beautiful hot Mrs. See's looming behind you with a huge picture every day.
She's a beautiful
what
woman.
What a turn on. But here's the point. You make what, $9-$10 an hour?
Yeah, something
can,
like
do
that.
You get the candy? Do you get to eat the candy though?
I get to eat the candy all I want for free while I'm at work, but I can't take anything with me. Yeah,
I would do that thing I do with the assortment box, which take the bite out of it and put it back, and then eventually, here's how pathetic I am. Eventually, when I run out of the stuff I like, I'll get to the ones with the bite marks. That's 3 weeks later. Thanks, David. You're doing the Lord's work. All right, Bruska. Naysaying Bruska from New York City. We are right, essentially, I'm going to call us 5 for 5 on this. I just am.
I'll say 4 for 4, but it's still, you were right and I was wrong.
We went out and threw this wallet around 5 separate times. Our intern, Jaron, hit the streets, all different locations, all different walks of life. We've had people from different countries and from different ethnicities.
It's an interesting thing. Does he get any money? Phone Screen O'Brien just put that up, and I'm wondering if Damashek would be so willing to tip him as I did twice.
That's a good question.
You're
David,
you're marvelous, bro.
David,
I'm interested to see this.
If he can take
and Rachel
he can take my 20, and if there's I put in a 20 and all the fives and singles, so he can take all of that.
Take that. And then, David, here's one that I find more interesting than giving you $20. Take $120 out, wipe yourself with it, shuffle it, and put it back into the wallet. We'll see how much pride these guys have.
But then I'm going by the See's Candy while he's at work and just sitting there and chowing down.
Well, yes. Actually, I didn't make it quite that far. I decided to call from a payphone.
Payphone? Can't even afford a cell phone. You're good people.
If Dave was a good man, he would just give him
something.
If Dave was a good man, he'd give him the contents of the wallet.
I'll take $20. That's fine. What a society we live in. Everybody. Who would have thought we'd go 5 for 5 with this?
I say we take it to the next level, though. We've learned this much, that L.A. has some good citizens. Let's spread it around. Let's see how Seattle. Let's take it to San Diego.
All right.
Maybe
that's
even just Rancho Cucamonga.
Let's get a representative from those affiliates to do this experiment. Yeah. Again, we took a wallet. We put money into it. $100 plus, almost each time cash, and we just put the simple request, if found, call, and everyone called, and nobody even took the money out. I say people are good. I think they're good, and I think there's 1% of us who are a-holes, and we build a society around the 1%. All the airport security, all
the
they all live in Bruska's house.
Yeah, they do.
Yes.
They win. It's not fair.
It isn't.
I want to take it back from the a-holes.
People are good. They're generally good, but we have to walk around scared. Look out. Lock your doors. Be careful. Watch out. Get an alarm on that car. Oh, you're going to get on an airplane. Oh, you're a braver man than I am. Why? People are good. People are decent. They do the right thing. I say the country's half full, not half empty. How say you?
I say yay. I say well done, sir.
Thank you.
How say you?
I say good day. I said good day. All right, busy?
Yes.
How say you?
I say yay.
You're 0 for 2 in the hypothetical.
I'm not sure if yay is
correct either. I'm embarrassed. I don't know if I want to continue playing.
Couple more.
All right.
Couple more.
Yeah,
again, there's no wrong answers. Only,
except for the ones I'm giving.
Only the ones that aren't right. Yes.
Right.
All right. Let's see. Simple one.
Okay.
Big fan. You're driving cross country.
Uh-huh.
Big fan of Star Jones. Big fan of Oprah.
Oprah. I can't win!
Sorry. I don't even know why that one's wrong. It's just plain wrong.
Wow.
All right, drive country. Young male church pastor with a guitar. Or,
oh, no.
Or the young female PETA activist.
That's really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. The PETA
five
activist. The guitar. The guy with the guitar.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. You wouldn't be able
to eat. He's going to be singing Rock Me Lord all the way.
Yeah, but
all
you
the
wouldn't
way
be
to
able to eat with this woman in your car.
Well, you can eat French fries. She doesn't judge.
No. She judges. They judge. That's the whole point.
I'm sorry.
Of the organization is to judge.
What are we, Mike? 0 for 4?
This is totally, I'm never coming back.
So sad.
This is never, I want you to know.
All right. Here's an easy one. Felicia Rashad or Debbie Allen?
Felicia Rashad.
Wait a minute. Exquisite blowhard. Proud black woman. Always telling you about how prideful she is. What a big fan of Cosby. I'm sorry. Ponytail through the hat guy.
Uh-huh.
This is the guy who pulls the ponytail through the hole in the back of the baseball hat.
A man doing
or the
that.
Guy who sports the leather fanny pack. Cross country.
Really tough.
Yeah. 3 days in a car.
Usually that's the same guy, too.
Yeah, oftentimes is. This guy's a twin.
Ponytail.
Oh, yes. Yes. 1 for 7.
Yeah. I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah, he's a tennis pro. At least he could help you with the backhand.
I guess it just means that I'm not like you, Adam. The fact that I've gotten these all wrong, right?
Isn't that a pity?
Isn't that a shame?
That a pity? All right, last one. Let's see. All right, I'm going to go with this one. Open mic poetry guy.
Oh, no.
He likes to deliver poetry at the open mic. Or denim jacket covered with Disney buttons and pins guy.
No. I have to take open mic guy.
Take open mic guy?
I don't think so. Have you ever met a Disney pin guy?
Yes, I've driven cross country with them many times. No. It was a pleasurable journey.
No. No, quoting Aladdin.
Open mic poet the guy. Oh, lament. Thing. What rhymes with condensation, he's saying, as it begins raining? No, you don't need that.
Yeah, I don't need Disney show
nobody,
tunes.
Nobody needs. I'm sorry.
Either.
One for nine.
All over the place.
An abysmal 1 for 9
it's
for
really,
Busy Phillips.
Really
sad.
Embarrassing.
Driving across the country with a lady named Busy.
Yeah.
Black man can't get no breaks.
Yeah, that's right. And he's white. Awesome. All right, Busy. Hang in. Your sport. Love
Inc.
is name of the show Thursdays, 8:30 on UPN. And now it is time for the beautiful Rachel Perry and her news.
So a female ex-post office worker opened fire in a processing facility near Santa Barbara last night, killing 6 employees and then committing apparent suicide. Samuel Alito confirmed today as the 110th justice on the Supreme Court in a 58-42 vote. President Bush will be giving his annual State of the Union address this evening. Coretta Scott King, the widow of Martin Luther King Jr., has died at the age of 78. And Oscar nominations announced today. Brokeback Mountain leading the pack with 8 nominations.
Mm-hmm.
Busy Phillips' friend.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really excited for Michelle.
Yeah.
So awesome.
We worked together, right?
Yeah, you did work with Michelle.
I worked with
an Oscar-nominated actress.
I must have inspired her, because when I met her, she was just doing Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, and really good independent films and plays on Broadway. But whatever.
The Ace Man rubbed a stink on her. Straight to the Oscars.
You challenged her as an actor.
As an actor, I did, because I'm courageous. I'm bold.
Yes.
Yeah.
You created an environment where she took some chances and she found out some things.
It was a creative petri dish where all could flourish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were so giving.
Yeah.
And she has.
She thought I was going to be stuck up, but then she realized I put my pants on one leg at a time.
I have a question about Michelle Phillips. Now, she's your pal.
No, she's not. Michelle Phillips?
I'm sorry, Michelle Phillips. Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams.
Phillips. Michelle Williams. Sorry.
That's all right.
I would like to drive across the country with both if I could. Now, sure, Michelle Williams, she meets Heath Ledger on the picture, right? Brokeback Mountain?
Right.
They fall for one another. What does she say about it during the workday? He's off making time with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Having vigorous lovemaking sessions for the big screen.
But then at night... he came home to her, I think.
Maybe it's compensation, because if I'm playing a gay cowboy, I'm going to hump whoever else is on that set.
I'll show you.
Made a baby.
The grips are laughing their ass off. I'll show them. Get in the trailer, baby. I'll show them who the man is. Yeah.
True.
Could be compensation. Keep an eye on that.
I think I don't know.
She could be a beard. Have you a beard? Yes. You know what I'm talking about.
I hardly think that she's a beard.
Have you met the man?
Of course.
You have.
Wow. She's the godmother.
Hang out with
Heath. How
is he?
He's great. He's a really great guy.
But does he wear chaps all the time?
All the time, Adam. Wow. Yes.
It's just like the movies.
It's just like the movies.
So right, he wasn't one of those method actors then who insisted he didn't take the role home with him, clearly. Because a lot of times that's what you know.
You take the role home.
Right. So he did not. He left it at the office.
Honestly, I mean, seriously, I think that what people talk about when they say, I took the role home with me, is emotionally, like, I think you take, like, you go through, the pain of the character home with you. And I think having Michelle and falling in love with her maybe balanced out a little. Or at least that's what they said on Oprah, so.
I understand taking stuff from the...
That's what they said on Oprah.
I don't know.
Take stuff from the craft table home, but don't take the role home. That's my...
You
that's
love
my
the craft
service.
You can't get enough.
You
free
can take
food.
The rolls.
I'm a Corolla. We hear free food. We'll get on a plane.
But I'm very happy for both of them. I think it's phenomenal.
They're dynamite.
Yeah.
Get them on the show, please.
Yeah.
I'll tell them how courageous they are in person.
No chance.
I'll play hypothetical question with Heath. He'll go better in 1 for 9. I'll tell you that right now.
I don't know.
Continue, Rachel Perry.
Sorry, Rachel.
I'm actually wondering. I saw a picture of Heath on the cover of a magazine yesterday, and I just popped into my head, the new Johnny Depp. I don't want to. That's a prediction that can go way far down the line.
That would be a great thing to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I think
check back with me in 20 years from now.
Yes, throw the news out.
Let's just take a little listen to the Best Picture actress and actor nominees. Let's start with the Best Picture nominees.
Best Picture nominees for 2005 are Brokeback Mountain, Diana Ossana and James Shamus, producers. Capote, Caroline Barron, William Vince, and Michael O'Hoven, producers.
Son of Mass.
Crash, Paul Haggis, and Kathy Schulman, producers. Good Night and Good Luck, Grant Heslov, producer. And Munich, Kathleen Kennedy, Steven Spielberg, and Barry Mendel, producers.
Not seen any of them.
I have not seen Munich. I have not seen Good Night and Good Luck. Good Night and Good Luck kind of seems boring to me.
Yeah. They all seem boring, but they're good, but boring, but what are you going to do?
Like, I don't want to... I know it's really great. I don't want to sit through it.
Yeah.
It's black and white.
Yeah.
Where's the fun in that?
Oh, it is?
Good Night and Good Luck?
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Munich, you'd like. It's about the blowing up of the...
and it's a film that Steven Spielberg didn't have to make.
He didn't have to make it. He did not have to make it.
Let's listen to the Best Actress nominees.
For Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role, the nominees are Judi Dench in Mrs. Henderson Presents, Felicity Huffman in Transamerica, Keira Knightley in Pride and Prejudice, Charlize Theron in North Country, and Reese Witherspoon in Walk the Line.
I'm making a prediction of Felicity Huffman because last time there was a starring prosthesis in a movie, Nicole Kidman, didn't she win the Oscar?
Mm-hmm. So they're saying it's Reese's year,
but Felicity Huffman had a little prosthetic fake.
Did she?
Hoo ha!
Did she?
Thing that she had in her pants.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She to get
filled
into the
out,
role.
But, well, the pre-op Felicity Huffman in the role.
Yeah.
Wow. Did not know that. Maybe she borrowed it from Marky Mark.
Hmm.
All right.
What? Anyway, I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now.
It's time.
Boogie Nights.
For Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
We are now just 5 days away from Super Bowl 40. As we speak, the Seahawks and Steelers are sitting on the field, Ford Field, talking to all the media members. Mm-hmm. But I got the jump on all of them. I had an exclusive interview with Sean Alexander, star running back of the Seahawks. I'll get to that in a second. NBA last night, Clippers, 5-game winning streak. Over. They lost a tough one down in Miami. Shaq Fu snuck past LA's favorite pro team. In Seattle, Portland knocked off the Sonics. NHL, San Jose loses in overtime. In Dallas and in Anaheim, the Mighty Ducks beat the Kings. Word out of Denver, the Broncos are looking maybe to sign Terrell Owens.
Yo.
What gives? They don't need to do that. And back to the Super Bowl, a few of the Seahawks, Sean Alexander included, got into a little wreck, a one-car accident. They ran into an automated gate.
Mm-hmm.
None of them injured, but I was a little concerned about this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because Sean Alexander, I'm sure Seahawks fans are really the ones concerned. Sean Alexander suffered the concussion in the first round of the playoffs.
Sure.
Fears, is he all right? Is he ready to go? So I hooked up with him via the teleconference, mm-hmm. and I'll let you hear. I felt like maybe he isn't exactly
off. Not sharp.
I'll let you be the judge.
Sean Alexander, thanks for joining me. First question, you excited for the Super Bowl?
You know, quote unquote.
Quote unquote what?
I know.
All right, now indeed. So I guess my next question is, how are you? I understand there was you had a little accident in the van with some of your teammates. Are you doing okay?
For 20 minutes, I didn't know anything. And then from now on, I just played football.
Well, you didn't play football yet. That's not till Sunday. Moving on, media day today. What sort of questions are you expecting?
They're going to ask me about all kinds of questions. The concussion, the contract, the concussion, stabbing in the back, the concussion, the concussion, wow. The concussion.
See?
Yeah. Seems
yeah.
Off.
Maybe you should talk to the team physicians or something.
Quote, unquote.
Okay, Sean, I'm going to let you go. I got some other things I got to get to. Good luck with the game, though, this weekend.
I know.
See, he seemed, am I right?
Distracted. Am I being too judgmental? At best, at worst, had suffered some trauma in the brain. Yeah.
And quickly, one great thing is a legend of Super Bowls past, Nate Newton, the Dallas Cowboys
the guard yeah.
Right, from the great teams of the early 90s. You know, he got arrested. After he retired from moving weed, you know, he was like separate incidents driving 175 and 225 pounds of weed.
Well, he's a big man. I would argue that, you know, he takes bigger portions of weed. You know what I mean?
I suppose, but, you know, here's something. He was talking about it, and he's not apologizing to anyone for it. Listen to this.
I wanted my name to be the one, like, you know, I need some weed. My name, Nate Newton. He can get it for you. Good quality weed.
Wow, at a fair price.
What do you have?
Say he wants to be the best.
His number?
No shame in that.
Do you have? Did he give you his number?
That's what you've been doing. I see.
I got Marlena over here. Marlena.
Yeah.
You're from Seattle.
I am.
You're excited about your Seahawks going to the Super Bowl.
Seahawks, we're gonna womp the Steelers.
I don't know if you heard, but Damashek's is a fan of the Steelers.
Yeah, I say nay.
I'll say you, Damashek.
I say
yay and double yay, lady.
No way, Dave. You got a one-sided sports show.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea what that even means.
Say it louder, because that will help.
He not only talks about Steeler football on this show, but he talks Pitt basketball.
Right.
He talks about high school football. He talks Penguins hockey. He talks about Allegheny County high school ball. I mean, what do you mean a one-sided
Thank you for having my back, Adam. It took a lot of guts to get my back.
How dare
Adam
you?
He talks about a Super Bowl Steelers. The Steelers are going to lose.
I've heard him bring it up because that's the big news story.
The Super Bowl happens to be what's going on,
my
dear.
Do you want him to do? Do the sports and ignore the Super Bowl?
No, I want him to talk better about
And what's he supposed to say? Is he supposed to say, oh, and playing in the 40th Super Bowl coming up this Sunday is the Seattle Seahawks in the... No, he has to say the name of the team.
That's not the way I do things.
The fans in Seattle right now are going crazy because they didn't hear that S word, the evil, evil S word.
I don't know what that is. I've not heard
Steelers.
Maybe it's just me, but I've not. Thank you. Seahawks starts with an S, too. That's the confusing part. Yeah, you probably shouldn't use that because it's confusing because both teams start with the same.
Seattle starts S as well, I would say.
Yes, there's another good point for the S word. Actually, better argument not to use the S word. All right. Now, before I have to break out the B word, namely boring, we're going to hang up. All right?
Speaking of B, we
best
a
wishes.
But best wishes is what I say.
Best wishes with the B word.
That's what I say.
Oh, listen, I focus on other matters when Dave does his sports, but and I'm a casual listener, but it seems like he's done just as much Seattle talk as he's done Pittsburgh talk or any other market.
I was just talking to Sean Alexander. Hello.
Hello.
The Steelers.
Yeah.
Hello.
Did you hear the way you edited that?
That was not edited.
How dare you?
I'm a journalist.
I'm never going to dignify that with a response. To you, I say good day.
Damashek's number one sports.
All right. I want to thank Busy Phillips for coming in here. Took a lot of guts. A lot of guts to hang in through sports after going 1-for-9 in the hypothetical questions.
It's really embarrassing.
She's generous. She'll land on her feet.
Probably.
She's a survivor, busy as.
I'm surprised she got one right, actually.
Well, I'll have to
what
recheck it.
What does that
it.
Mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I see you playing the game, buddy.
Yeah.
I don't think that was a dig at you.
Oh.
I'm not saying anything.
Love Inc. is the name of the show. Thursdays, 8:30 on the UPN. We'll be back with the beautiful Brittany. Our sales girl is going to sing a little song for us, as she's known to do, and many other things after this. Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. Beautiful Brittany, the sales girl. Yes.
I'm
a fan.
Sorry. Beloved around the sports world.
Yes. You say passed around or beloved? Beloved.
I maybe didn't talk to you about that.
Beloved. Yes. She
to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's reset. Let's reset for a second. Brittany is a beautiful, solid C cup. Yes?
Yes.
Plus. And sings like an angel. It's a wonderful voice. Turns out we found in our short experience with Brittany that she likes the chocolate. She enjoys the Downtown Brown. The Nubian Warriors she's a fan of. And she makes no bones about it. She's dated a couple guys who play in the NBA. Couple guys from NFL, yes.
Oh yeah.
Even a handful from the NHL, which is not easy to do. But if you go search around the league, you will find a brother with skates. She is in here because the last time she came by, we had Flava Flav in studio, and you guys were going to go out on a date, right?
He asked me out.
He asked you out. I was standing there when he asked you out.
You all heard it, right?
Yes, and I know exactly what time it was because I could see the clock that was hanging around his neck. It was 9:02 and 53 seconds. And you gave him your phone number.
Yes, I accepted, and I gave him my number. And
what happened?
I still haven't heard from him.
Wow.
He
could have lost your number.
Or he could have used it as a rolling paper. Either way, we need to hear a song from Rich, who's been sending in wonderful songs about Brittany, and then she's got a song of her own to sing.
Is our fan.
Brittany dates blacks, but she doesn't date honkies. Hey la, her boyfriend. She black. Wants NBA stars and NFL chocolate. Hey la, her boyfriend. No albino wieners, just Mandingo sausage.
Wow.
Hey la, her boyfriend's black. No Wayne Gretzky's and no Bob Costas. Hey la, her boyfriend's black. White boy. There's no use in trying. She wants Shaq or Kobe Bryant. Maybe she'd date me if I look like Wesley Snipes. Hey la, her boyfriend's black.
Wow.
That is a wonderful song.
This guy, I like this guy. He's
rich, yeah. I do feel sorry for the poor schlubs. I have to back him up. they don't listen to this show. Who's Brittany? Just shut up and sing, hey la, my boyfriend's black.
Stop by the recording studio. You mean your basement?
Your mom's basement? All right. Wow, nice song. But as they say, payback is a bitch. And Brittany has her own song. This one is going out to Flava Flav. Because you diss Brittany, and here's the thing. You get a horrible song written about you.
Actually, it's not too bad about him.
Oh, it isn't?
No, it's more of a, I'm getting my feelings out there. He kind of hurt my feelings.
Wow, yeah. You're a delicate flower.
Mm-hmm.
Not used to being rejected by men because you're so beautiful and so young.
I don't get it.
So it's a powerful song.
It is very powerful.
You're gonna take
for all
us,
the women out
gonna
there.
You're going to take us on a journey?
Yes, I am.
Well, let's embark on it.
Small. He said it didn't matter cause Brigitte was 6 feet tall. He told me give him a chance after one date I would see. But I guess I'll never know because Flava never called me.
Wow.
Mike Tyson asked him what I look like. And Flava told him I was hot. I thought he was serious, but I guess not, cause Flava Flav stood me up.
Wow.
Oh yeah,
I gave him my number, but he stood me up. I can't believe he didn't call. I said I was a fan. I've never been rejected by any black man. If I've learned anything from this, I would have to say I'm gonna stay away from rappers and stick to the NBA.
Prudent.
What am I to do? My ego is bruised real bad. I'm just hoping that I don't end up like Mike and Tad.
Wow. Don't worry. 4 minutes won't go by without you having sex. Well, that was awesome, Brittany.
Thank you.
Always surprised at how wonderful her voice is.
Me too.
Lovely.
And Johnny on the spot. You know, it's not like we take a week. This isn't Star Search. We don't hash this stuff out, work it over with a musical arranger. We just cramp something together. You hop on and belt it out.
I have to say, this was done by the lovely Brittany, and Taryn composed this song.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Perfect. Well done.
Beautiful job.
Yeah. Straight from the heart.
Black-hearted Taryn. Yes.
I personally say that I feel shame that Brittany, the sales girl, and Rich, the guy who's recording these songs, both are far more talented than I am. I'm ashamed.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah, that's most of North America. All right, Brittany, you let me put a Band-Aid on your heart, or at least on your boob where your heart would be. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. By the way, if you want to send us something or contact us, go to adamcarolla.com. adamcarolla.com. Like Rick, our songster. Yeah.
He set the bar high.
Very high. And talk about range. He does Motown. He does country. He's got range, that Rich. Greg?
Yes.
You're living in the Seattle area?
Honest folk we have up here, sir.
The reason we're doing my wallet experiment, and by the way, I just got done putting my tag inside my wallet with the phone number, if found, call. I suggest you all do it now, since we're 5 for 5. I thought, well, why even bother trying in Seattle or San Diego, since L.A. is such a horrible town? If we go 5 for 5 here, you may go 6 for 5. Yes. Somebody may hand you their wallet while you're trying
to
drop a wallet.
To return it. Yes.
Right. But, Greg, you can be our Seattle man on the street if you like.
I'll be the man on the street.
All right. So we'll put you on hold. You big Seahawks fan?
I'm not too bad. I'm not actually a football fan.
Well,
yeah.
Well, here's another
yeah.
thing I find interesting. Obviously, if you're from Pittsburgh or Cleveland, you're going to be a big ball fan because that's all you got.
That's bat and beer.
And see, and Damashek has brought this up, but if you're from Seattle, you may not. I would imagine the average person from Seattle doesn't like the violence, doesn't like the contact, would rather look at the sky and blow the spleef, yes?
Yeah.
That's what I figured. I'm just saying, if you took everybody in Pittsburgh's a crazy Steelers fan, I don't know that everyone in Seattle even really cares. I'm sure they're all getting on board now, and I'm sure there's lots of fans. And I'm not trying to PO any of these our fine Seattle listeners. But I would just say, my mom doesn't care anything about football. And no one in my family cares
She's
about
got
football.
Other things, right.
And if they had a football team and they were going to the Super Bowl, they would not care one iota. The equivalent of my mom does not exist in Pittsburgh.
Correct.
She may exist in Seattle. That's what I'm
saying.
We
have our spiced tubular meats like kibasi and bratwurst, and we have the Steelers. That's it.
Right. That's right. All right. Now, I want to talk to our young intern, Mike.
Possible intern.
Possible. Yeah, possible.
Hopeful.
Yeah. What's going on, Mike?
We're
going
to interview him.
Not a whole lot. You know, just looking for some good experience.
Brusca, may I point this out? If I'm interviewing him, you don't have to point out.
No, but you already called him the intern, and he's not. So
we don't know. We don't know if we're going with him?
We don't know. I mean, we can see how the interview goes.
Yeah. Really? he could not make the cut on this show?
We actually had a bunch of people respond.
Oh, really?
Trying to be interns. His resume was impressive, so we brought him in here. But
I see. It may not work out.
We've interviewed a bunch in the office, and
well, he didn't make the cut because of his looks, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to start off.
A lot of them did not make the cut, so let's see what happens.
Yeah, but he dressed up nice in a nice crisp white shirt.
Yeah, but he has that weird Hasidic Jew thing going with that white shirt tucked into the black pants. Whenever I see, when I see the white shirt, the dress shirt tucked into the black slacks with the comfortable shoes, I think Weird Religion. It could be the Jehovah's guys pulled up on the bicycle. It could be the weird Hasidim walking up and down Fairfax. I don't know who decided that you couldn't wear a colorful print shirt and love your Lord at the same time, but evidently you can't.
Yeah. No. Lord, God doesn't approve of colored shirts. Unless you're Krishna. Yeah.
He doesn't. Already started the Ask Kiss Rodeo, which is what we're going to get into. What is your ethnicity? What is your faith? Where are you from? Where
I was raised Catholic, but, you know, fell away from that.
Good man. Atheist.
He could be whatever you want him to be.
Angry atheist?
Adam? Yeah, you could call it that.
All right, let's play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo with potential intern Mike.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Woo-hoo! Boy, I'm hungry.
Who isn't?
Yeah. Wow, doesn't even let me get the next syllable out. If you're an intern over here, I might send you on a food run, maybe have you grab me a burger after the show.
Oh, good, I could use the walk.
Did I say burger? I meant burrito.
Hey, burritos around here are great.
Yeah, I love that Mexican food.
Who doesn't?
On the other hand, what about a nice churro?
You know, every sort of Mexican food is great around here, over Alvera Street there.
All right. I like to think of myself, I don't like to talk politics, but I think of myself as conservative.
Yeah, you know, you got family values are key in this country.
And liberal.
Well, you also need to protect the poor and working class.
Dave Damashek, definitely my favorite on the show.
Yeah, I mean, he's a sports guy. Who doesn't love sports?
Rachel Perry, fantastic.
Well, some women don't love sports, so you know. The women.
Huh?
Wow. I say you let that go.
Wow.
He aired on the side of Damashek. Therefore, I say keep it going.
It was a hiccup.
Not the first time I felt insulted on this show.
Once again, technically solid, but not a lot of pizzazz.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, I like that.
I was playing this with my wife in the kitchen last night, by the way. She wanted to play some Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Got to call in.
You know you have a good job, by the way, when you're taking your work home and your work is playing Ask Kiss Rodeo with your wife. Usually it's a big stack of papers and manila folders. And in my case, I'm playing Ask Kiss Rodeo with my wife, who's delighted when I was on the ass kissing side. Yes, here's the thing, and I have to give this to all the participants. You are not a robot. It's not like we're going to just read the transcripts of Ask Kiss Rodeo and then judge. That would be easy. What is your cadence? What is your flair? Give it your own personal touch. That was solid for the first time out of the gate, I got to say, Mike.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I tried. I tried my best for Ask Kiss.
You gave it 110%. That's all we ask in Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Play the outro, would you, Mike? If you have it.
Adam, no matter what you say, I agree. Everything you do is genius.
I like the Ask Kiss Rodeo. The thing I do like about you as I look at your work experience on your resume is you worked at a car wash in Lafayette.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it says that you're a cashier, driver, and a detailer.
Yeah, they moved me around, you know. I got the job through the college and started as cashier, and they sort of moved me around to wherever they needed work.
And you would detail fine automobiles?
Yeah, detailed some really nice cars over there.
Tell me a little about Carnauba Wax.
Carnauba Wax? After you put it on, you know, you gotta put it on. You gotta use a dry towel, preferably very fine cloth. If you don't, if you use a moist towel, you're gonna get
swirl marks.
Yeah.
Did they let you use the buffer?
No.
Yeah, that's a weapon in the wrong hands.
Yeah.
But you will detail an automobile.
I worked on the insides, you know, shampooed, because anyone could do that, really. Mm-hmm. And I did take off the wax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, you're hired. You're on. You're out.
Okay. I got to tell you.
I got to say, I'm sorry, Rachel County, after on. I know this sounds horrible, but you're a black man. And I come from a very liberal family, and I can't tell you, go detail my car. It would seem racist to me.
What about affirmative action, you know?
Yeah, I know, but see, this is where it works against you. I feel bad. See, I have no problem telling Whitey Schlub Mike, hey, go clean the car. Get to it.
I'm
there's
white
no
guy.
Way.
I can't complain.
And then what about the stuff that has a sort of stigma to it? Like, I want to polish on my shoes. Could you imagine going to Tehran? Polish my shoes. Are you kidding?
Heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid. But Mike, come on, you big putz.
Yeah.
Put a spit shine on them.
Yeah, do you have any cotton that needs picking or something?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Tehran's done a good job so far.
He's done a good job. I'm going to hate to see him go. I really am. Well, maybe there's room for both of you.
I think there is.
Yeah. You think so?
I haven't met him before, but he's
I think you're both good people, and there's room for you on the Adam Carolla Show. Jerron, a wonderful job throwing that wallet out.
It's
going to be awesome when you're going out and tossing more money on the street, and Mike is putting a second coat of Windex on the windshield of the Hummer. Awesome.
Is he going to work on the show? I guess not.
It's in. Everyone's in. And by the way, can they be our slaves? I mean, did I have to just do show stuff, or can I put them on the car? And what about me? Here's what I'm saying. If I look through a dirty windshield or see soot on the hood of one of my many automobiles, I may go to a place that's not good for radio.
Mm.
What's the matter with Adam? Just not his day. Why not? He looked through a dirty windshield on the way here. So I would argue that you working on my car, detailing my car, is helping the show, yes?
Yeah, and via helping everyone else, because everyone that listens to the show.
That's right.
Better product.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Wow, Oscar's Rodeo.
Yeah. How say you, Mike? Yay?
Yay.
Yay, Jerron, yay?
Yay.
Bruska, yay?
Yay on both these guys.
Yay, yay, the yays have it. All right, good. Hey, we're only going two because we're pressed for time. Hip, hip. Huzzah! Hip, hip.
Huzzah!
Well, now we got to do it again because of Rachel Pear. Hip, hip.
Huzzah!
Hip, hip.
Huzzah!
Thank you. All right, that's the show, everyone. I want to thank Busy Phillips for coming in here. Love, Inc. Name her show. Thursdays, 8:30 on UPN. I'm guessing the UPM is a typo, Bruska. Danny Boatwright. What's this UPM on that day?
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's UPN, right? Yeah, well, they changed. You know, they merged. I didn't know. I really didn't. Danny Boatwright. Beautiful, sexy, red-panty Danny from Survivor. Survivor Panama premieres Thursday, 8 o'clock, CBS. I am primed and ready. I want to thank Frank Caliendo, the talented Frank Caliendo, as John Madden. He's going to be at the Sacramento Theater in, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. Yes, Saturday, February 18th. The great Frank Caliendo. Go to frankcaliendo.com for more information. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.